Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Fink, and this is the Christogenia Open Forum call. That means that somebody calls in, or it's not much of a forum. How you doing, Pilgrim?
I'm fine. How you don't sound too good tonight, though.
Oh, I feel fine. I've been at it all day. I've been typing all day, and I just uploaded a movie player upgrade to the Christogeno site, because I try stuff out there first,
yeah.
and it broke all the movies. Only about a third of my movies are in that video player, and the others are in another program. You know, they're displayed with another program.
Yeah.
So it's broke about a third of them, and I got to go fix them tonight.
Yeah.
But the upgrade will be worth it, and then maybe tomorrow night I'll do Christogenia.
Oh, cool.
The user won't see it. It's easier for me. That's all. It's just a program that makes it easier for me to put a video up.
Yeah, I hate trying new stuff. Never put too much in it until you know it's working.
Well, that's why I really have the mirror site.
It is
to try stuff and upgrades and software, and when it breaks, it really don't matter, right?
Yeah.
But if it works, it'll work on Christogenia. So that's the important thing.
Oh, cool. So what are the new sites?
Well, swift.christogenia.org. I mean,
yeah, it's happening.
That's going to be a great site when it's together. There's over 300 audios already up there. They don't play online. You have to download them.
Uh-huh.
And they don't – when I find a player that will play 16 kilohertz audios online, then I'll install it. But I don't have one right now.
Yeah.
And I have the same thing with Christogenia, with my talk show audios.
Yeah.
That the players – all seem to want to play 11, 22, and 44 and 48 kilohertz audios.
Yeah.
So what I did was yesterday I had to resample all of my 2010 Christogenia audios to date at 44 kilohertz. And it's still a 16 kilobit per second bit rate. And the files are still a lot smaller because the talk show files, when they come up, are very, very large. They're about 30 megabytes for an hour, and I get them down to about 8 megabytes for an hour.
It's a long time to download them from TalkShoe.
Well, yeah, right, but if people download them from my site, they're real quick.
Yeah.
Because I've taken the time to resample every one of them.
Yeah.
But because the software I used to resample all the last year's videos resampled them at 16,000 kilohertz, at 16 kilohertz, then the players, the online players, won't play them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm resampling the two. I might go back and resample them all. But, I mean, that's not going to happen overnight because there's 150 of them, right?
Yeah.
Or thereabouts. So that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's coming along. I'll have 61 done tonight and start 60 tomorrow. I hit a couple of snags on her typing, and a few of them she didn't make any paragraphs. They were just one long run on paragraphs, so I had to go in and kind of break it up.
Right.
But other than that, it's going up fine.
All right. Well, let me explain. There's a new site, the Wesley Swift Archive at christogenia.org. A good friend of mine who knew Lorraine Swift personally received 850 typed sermons from her on CD, and a lot of them were originally transcribed by Ella Mae Nast. Correct me if I have her name wrong. I'll apologize.
Ella Mast.
Mast. Ella Mae Mast. Okay. Well, Ella Mast, she transcribed all these sermons, and we're going to put them all up on this website. I obtained the Wesley Swift audio collection, the ones that I could obtain, and they're up there too. And if anybody has any more original Wesley Swift material that's not up there, I'd be glad to add it to the site.
Yeah. It's looking good.
I have about 300 or 400 Wesley Swift PDF files on the new Ensign site, and if anything is there that's wanting on the Swift site, then I'll move it over. I'll copy it over.
Yeah, good.
So that all the Wesley Swift stuff we can get our hands on is in one place. And I wrote an about page for the site, and let me recite that here because I don't want anybody to be confused, because I do have some disagreements with Wesley Swift. and this will take a second, but
yeah,
I typed it out last night, and or maybe it was this morning. I don't remember. This is the about page for the site. While I do not totally, while today I do not agree with everything Wesley Swift taught, I cut my Christian Israel identity teeth on his writings, along with those of Bertrand Comparé. And it was those two primarily, although E. Raymond Capt and Clifton Emmaheiser certainly helped, who compelled me to my own quest to understand history in the Bible. So when R.J. Gardner gifted me with the type collections of Wesley Swift sermons on a CD, I felt that perhaps the community should have a text-searchable website devoted primarily to Wesley Swift. So here it is, and with some of the best database technology available, I pray, while this shall be kept simple by design, and for the most part limited to Wesley Swift's material, we have also added some William Gale recordings to the audio library.
Okay.
And I think I'll be able to add more William Gale recordings to the audio library as time goes on.
That's cool.
I had the good pleasure of being a correspondent with Wesley's wife, Lorraine, for several years before her passing in 2005. Thanks to Gene Snyder, who also sadly passed recently. For nearly 35 years after Wesley's premature death, Lorraine continued faithfully distributing his tapes and sermons to all who requested them, and especially to prisoners. Certainly there are many who still miss her. Perhaps one day I shall also post some of her encouraging cards and letters here also. That's it. We will add more of Wesley's material in the future, in the event that any more is found. Yes, this site was made possible by the hard work and perseverance of Mrs. Ella Rose Mast and my fortunate association with R.J. Gardner. So that's going to be the Wesley Swift site.
Very good. Very good. Well, if anybody hasn't, I agree. You know, there's some things Wesley Swift writes about that either can't be, you know, he doesn't.
Substantiated.
Yeah, he doesn't cite his sources. But if anybody hasn't read Wesley Swift, as I'm going through it, I'm going, oh, I got to read this one. Oh, I've got to read that one. Wesley Swift is great, and he speaks. He's not only CI, but he speaks more to the soul and the spirit, and well worth reading. Just if you haven't read him, you've got to read him or listen to his tapes, either one. He's really unique and gives a really interesting perspective on some things that are worth considering, I think. I like Wesley Swift. I think he's pretty good, even though you may not agree with everything he teaches.
Well, right, absolutely. And he probably more than any of the early, you know, the early to me, the first identity writers I've read, he piqued my interest,
you
know, in ancient history.
Oh, yeah, he'll get you going for sure. You start reading his stuff, it's he'll definitely pique your curiosity. And I think this site is really good. The searchability feature is excellent because you go and there are places that have collections of his writings, but he isn't organizable too easily. So if you're looking for something specific, you're stuck having to scroll through lots and lots of sermons to find it.
Well, right, and that's why I use that Clifton's site is actually done in Joomla. Joomla's searchability is generally just as good, but that's why I like Drupal because you could search for any word down to three letters.
Mm-hmm.
I think on Chris Degenier I might have it set at four. I'm not sure. I'd have to go look. But the default is 3.
Oh, we do have Gerald and Brett on the phone, too.
Yeah, I'll recognize Gerald. I only want to recognize Brett if he promises not to be a clown and go talking about how he screwed over my business websites last week. Because I don't want to hear it here. How you doing, Gerald?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I was interested in what you and Pilgrim was discussing about William Swift. You know, I may have discussed this on a program earlier, but I had the pleasure back in the early 60s of listening to Dr. Swift personally on the radio on KWKH in Shreveport, Louisiana. But I didn't really know a lot about what he was talking about. He came on pretty strong for that time frame in the 60s. And he was not really accepted by a lot of people because he was considered radical. And, of course, he mentioned the three-letter word that was unmentionable back in those days. If you said the word Jew on a radio program, while all of the John Birch Society members would all drop dead. So, you know, everybody had to be careful. And, of course, he was an avid supporter of the Ku Klux Klan. And he made no apology for that. He discussed it. And while in those days we were still a segregated society here in Louisiana, and the Klan was a lot more accepted, it wasn't discussed a lot openly, but there was a lot of Klan groups, and they had a lot of respectable people in them. They didn't go around breaking the law and doing bad things. They were just out there supporting the white folks. And of course, it was still considered. It was beginning to get considered wrong to be a racist and support the white race. People started frowning on it, and the Klan was out there supporting the white race. And of course, that was a no-no. But Swift was quite good, and I didn't understand a lot of what he was saying. And unfortunately, I didn't take him to heart. I was young and, I had lots of other interests in doing things, and I just remember hearing him. I also remember hearing Comparé, and those, I think, were the two main ones that I remember hearing that was on the religious end of it. Of course, we had idiots like Billy James Hargis and Carl McIntyre, and a lot of those people who were, to use one of your favorite words, they were clowns. And all they were out there after was, they were charlatans. They were after getting money out of all the old conservative folks who were scared to death at what was happening in the country. And, of course, everybody was supposed to be fighting the communists. It was fashionable to be anti-communist in those days. Of course, nobody really knew who the communists were. They had a vague idea, but they didn't really know history or know actually what they had done and what the Bolshevik Revolution was all about. So it was fashionable to be anti-communist. And these people played on people's sympathy and fears, and they collected a lot of money, and they lived fancy lives, much like the televangelists do today. But anyway, those are fun days, and I can honestly say I did hear him personally, and he was quite dynamic when he was live on the radio. And that's basically all I had to say.
Oh, that comes through, I think, when you listen to his audio sermons. He had a real charisma, a real charismatic personality, and a real delivery style that was caught your attention for sure.
Well, I think had he lived, he probably would have been a force to be reckoned with if the UFO people didn't come take him away. He was kind of out there in some areas, and I think that was to his detriment because he talked about some things that was far out. If he'd have just stayed tuned in to basic principles and talked about the Bible and race and the things that mattered, I think he'd have been accepted a lot more. But I think he would have been a force to be reckoned with had he not died so early in life.
Yeah, but if you look at it, that's true for that day. If you look at what he was talking about now, it's like it's like if he had you spoken about DNA and cloning things in those days, they would have turned you off. But now it doesn't sound like such a strange concept. A lot of what was strange that he was talking about then is not. It's becoming becoming very popular topics of conversation now.
Well, and of course, you've got to realize, too, that had he lived, he would have grown in knowledge along with the rest of us. He would have he probably would have corrected some of his ideas that may not be 100% correct today.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, he was a very powerful force for us, and he was a pioneer. He was a trailblazer, like Comperé and so many of those people. Gerald L. K. Smith was another one that was a trailblazer. He, of course, he talked more on the conspiracy and the Jewish involvement back then, and he was really taboo. You mentioned Gerald L. K. Smith, and it was almost like a curse word around all of the Republicans and the John Birchers and all those folks.
Oh, sure. And you know, it's unfortunate. He had, I understand, a library that was quite large, and it would have been nice if that had been able to stay intact someplace.
You know, there were several individuals back in those days that had fantastic libraries, and so many of those libraries have been divided and lost, and there are not very many of them around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm concerned about my library. I have plans for it, but, you know, I want to make sure that it stays intact and that, you know, it's put to use at some point in time. I'm trying now, and with help, like people like Bill Fink and others, you know, I may be able to get more of the information out there. I've given Bill some, but I hope to give him a lot more. And I want to see the library used.
Well, I know it's hard for you to do things like scan books because it's so time-consuming, but on some of your, you know, more important, what you think are your more important pieces, you know, if you can scan them and get them spread around, that also enhances the ability of keeping them available.
Well, and that's the purpose of it, is to get the information out. You know, it's fun to have an original edition of a book and, you know, to pull it down and look at it and say, golly gee willikers, I've got this. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to take that information and get it out there, especially to Jacob Israel, and to help awaken people. And, you know, I'm so proud of Bill Fink and Sword Brethren for the work that they did. And they finished up last night on the Russia number one document. That came from my library. I'm not toning it. I'm just saying it came from my library, and it had sat here absolutely doing no good at all. And
mm-hmm.
They did such a tremendous job on presenting that on several programs, and they did an admirable job. And I just, I'm so thankful. And they're going to start on another book on Goebbels, and I think that's going to be on the next Sunday program. And it too, is going to be quite interesting. And that's information that we need to get out, because my generations on forward have been so brainwashed about what happened in Nazi Germany and what the National Socialist movement was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fake Holocaust and all of that stuff. And that information needs to get out there. And they're doing such a wonderful job. And, you know, I'm just, my hat's off to them. But that's what I want to do with the library, and I want to get – and, oh, I tell you, Yahweh has really smiled on me. Today, I had a young fella come, and he was going to do some yard work. And of course, it's raining, and he couldn't. But it turns out that he's a fine little Christian boy. He's a senior in high school, and he's computer literate. He knows all about scanning and using a lot of these programs, and he's going to start next week – and helping me get back on track with scanning a lot of these books and documents, and I'm real excited about that. So he just popped in, you know, and I've been looking for so long for someone to help me.
Oh, that's great.
Of course, I've got to, you know, I've got to pay him. He's not going to come over here and work just, you know, to hang out with a dynamic personality like me. But, you know, he's going to be well worth it, and I'm so thankful that he's going to help me.
Well, yeah, Yahweh provides when it's needed. But see, you know, you're not only getting the books out there, there's a good show, series of shows now that Bill and Sword Brethren have done that are archived that people can access. You know, imagine if there had been the technology and someone had managed to scan in that entire Swift library and put it online. Can you imagine what a wealth of a resource that would have been?
Mm.
You know?
Right. What happened to Bill?
Well, it will be online real soon. Well, I'm not trying to put any pressure on you, Pilgrim.
I'm trying.
No,
I'm just trying to make it look pretty as I go along.
Take your time. I'm going to start back on the New Ensign site next week, I hope, where I have 11,000 documents that have to be evaluated. So that's, you know, the Swift site is it's child's play. It's not. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. When I Clifton's site took me about a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was maybe 600 documents. But that took a long time because there's a lot of Greek in the documents. And that's my fault probably for the most part. But Clifton has a lot of Hebrew and stuff. And I had to go replace all that stuff with Unicode characters for Clifton's site. So that was a much more difficult task.
This is an easy upload now that everything's rolling. The only thing that's snagging me here and there is, like I said, if I hit a document where it's like one giant run-on paragraph,
yeah,
and I
happen
to go in and break it up, that takes a little time. But otherwise, it's going really well.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it.
So soon.
Miracles of modern technology.
Yeah.
Gerald, you want to talk about any of your plans for the other site, the other project we're talking about?
Well,
I don't want to put any pressure on you.
It's unannounced. I mean, it has not been announced.
Okay, then we'll be quiet about it.
But no, I mean, it's...
Let everybody hang.
That's up to you. I mean,
because I had to open my big mouth.
I mean, you've already kind of opened the door. If you'd like to say something about it, why, feel free to do so. It's fine with me.
Well, just that we're, we're planning a site on Southern Heritage exclusively.
Yeah, cool.
It'll be dixie.christogenia.org.
And I'm very excited about it. That's one of the things. I wasn't going to mention it, but the young fellow's going to help me with it. That's part of the scanning and a lot of work we're doing. And, of course, Bill, I tell you, he's a tough teacher. He'll crack the whip if I don't behave and get my lessons done on time. So I'm having to do a lot of crash program learning and things. But it's what I need to do. I'm excited about it. And I've got a lot of material. I've got a lot of stuff here on the South and all a lot of different aspects of it. But if anyone out there has something that's sort of unique that they think would fit into my theme about the South, you know, I love the South and all the aspects of it. You know, I'm sorry we lost, but, you know, the damn Yankees beat us. But anyway, feel free to contact me, and, you know, if you'd like to share something, and we'll put it on the site, because I want it to be, it'll never be probably as good as some of the other sites that Bill's working with, but we're going to try to make it reputable, and I want to have the best Southern site out there. So, you know, if any of you people would like to help me, I don't want to say you people. That's what the Jews, that's one of their favorite terms. Whenever you hear any of these Jew announcers, or there's one or two maybe on talk show or whatever, they always like to refer to people as you people. And I found out that a long time ago. And they don't like it themselves. If I remember Richard Cotton, he was he had conservative viewpoint out of California. It was a he was a columnist and a conservative talk show type host, and he was debating a Jew named Larry Williams. Of course, that wasn't his real name, but that was his radio name. And they got in a heated debate on some of the issues that Jews don't like to talk about, and he referred to him as "you people." And that guy went crazy. He stuttered and stammered and cursed. He got up and he walked out of the studio and left Richard Cotton sitting there for a minute. And then he come back in and started ranting and raving again, and Richard, I think, ultimately left. He just got up and left the program. But they can dish it out, but they can't take it. And so I try not to use that term, "you people." But anyway, if y'all, I like y'all a lot better. If y'all have something that you think would be unique and you'd like to share it and allow us to put it out there for other people to enjoy, why, contact me and let me know.
I can snarf up some pictures of Scarlett O'Hara to decorate your site.
Oh, that's my, I've only seen that movie, oh, maybe, I guess 25 times.
You gotta love Scarlett.
And I know just about every sentence before they say it. And, you know, I say I'm never going to watch it again. And, of course, I don't have TV now. I got rid of that, and I'm a lot better for it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they'd have the movie on, I'd flip it, be flipping channels, and suddenly they'd be there. And, you know, I just got glued to it, and there I was for the rest of the entire movie. That's one of the it's surprising that Hollywood would put that out. Now, they did. They took liberties, and they threw a few little things in there.
It was Daryl Zanuck, a Jew, who produced it.
Yeah, they didn't butcher it up like you would normally think they would. I think they did Margaret Mitchell a real service by putting that book together.
Well, I think that
book
was a bestseller.
They had Jews in it. Of course, Leslie Howard, you know, he played Ashley, and of course he was Jewish. Hattie McDaniel, you know, I just loved her to death. If she could have been my mammy, I'd have been thrilled to death. And when she, you know, she was a black and she was the first one to receive an Academy Award. And, you know, I almost cried when they showed that and she went up there and she received that award, because she was just, she wasn't a hateful, spiteful person. She was just a good, dignified black lady. And she deserved it, because she played a magnificent role. And of course, Butterfly McDaniel, she played Prissy. And now she had an attitude, on stage and off stage. She really didn't like the South. And she didn't like some of the roles that they had her playing in Gone with the Wind. And one particular role that she did not like was when she had, you know, she was told Scarlett that she knew all about birth and babies. And then when Melanie got ready to have her baby right in the middle of the siege of Atlanta, and the Yankees were bombing downtown Atlanta and everything. And so Scarlett looked at Prissy to help Melanie have that baby. And of course, the famous line that she said was, you know, "Well, Miss Scarlett, I don't know nothing about birthing babies." And Scarlett was incensed because, you know, the Yankees was coming in and buildings were blowing up, and they was on the staircase, and Scarlett slapped Prissy. And Prissy said, told him, she says, "I'll do the scene, but she's not going to slap me." So they used a little of that Hollywood magic, and they made it appear that Scarlett slapped her, but she did not actually slap her. But Prissy did a formidable a character role in that movie too. But that was one of my favorite movies. And
well,
but Hattie McDaniel,
you have to admit, Bill,
I just loved her.
You have to admit, they did find the perfect Scarlett O'Hara.
Yeah, you know, and of course, I didn't mean to get off on that subject. I'll hush on it. But, you know, they had a hard time finding Scarlett.
Have you seen CBS did
a special? Like Joan Crawford and Betty Davis. And
they tested everybody in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, and they
everybody.
Just couldn't. And then suddenly, here's this gal from England that comes in. And they just absolutely fainted almost when they saw her, because she was a perfect Scarlett. She had beautiful green eyes, and of course she was one of us. She wasn't Jewish, and the reason why she made such a good Scarlett with the Southern dialect is because the English language is more akin to the Southern dialect. Or I should say, it may be reversed. The Southern dialect is more akin to English. But she could adapt the Southern dialect very, very well. And she did a very good job in the movie. And I've seen other movies with Vivien Leigh in it. And she didn't play the Southerner. And, of course, she had the typical English accent. But she, you know, the movie was just fantastic. And it gave a little of the flavor of the South. It stretched a few little things here and there, but it sure did show the Reconstruction, and it showed what the Yankees did, and it showed Reconstruction and all of the horrors that those people went through, and that scene of Scarlett standing there after she threw up eating the raw turnips in the garden, and she said, you know, if she had to kill, steal, or whatever, she would never go hungry again. And I think that simplified that showed what the South was having to endure. And of course, it also showed the blacks and how rowdy they were, and how they were pillaging and hurting people, you know. And they tried to attack her and all. And of course, Rhett came to the rescue. Well, actually, Big Sam came to the rescue, their big houseboy. But
well, I think that book was a bestseller, and it was so wildly popular that they probably didn't dare mess with it too much when they brought it to the screen.
They allowed her to have the last word on the changes that they made.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reason why that it had a lot of color and flavor in it is because Margaret Mitchell, of course, she grew up there in Georgia. And when she was growing up, when she was a young child, they still had a lot of Confederate veterans that were still living. And they would gather together. They had a big home and a big front porch. And those Confederate veterans would come there, and they would sit and have tea or coffee or whatever. And they would tell all of their stories of their adventures in the war and chivalry and what life was about before the war. And she remembered a lot of that. She wrote a lot of that down, and that's where she got a lot of her background material for Gone with the Wind. It was from those Confederate veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess y'all all know this. This is probably old hat to everybody, but I'll hush now and let y'all get on with you.
Well, you probably feel less of me when I tell you that I never saw Gone with the Wind.
Oh, my.
Oh, Lord.
We got to get this man a DVD.
No.
Well, it's a four-hour movie, and, you know, you better have popcorn and everything else and go to the bathroom twice before you start it, because it does have an intermission in it, but it's just the music. The music score was good. And, of course, I loved it when they played Dixie, when they announced that the South had fired on Fort Sumner and we was at war. And they all rushed out and jumped on their ponies and ran off and played Dixie. And, you know, I just got all excited and I wanted to stand up and cheer, but I didn't. But, of course, I knew what the end was going to be. It's kind of like the Bible. You know, we know the ending. We know we win in the end.
I'm looking. That movie was released in 1940.
Well, it was released in 1939.
It should be in the well. This website's lying to me. Then.
Well, it is lying because
the hype around that movie when it was being made, and it took a long time, and it kept getting delayed. And that movie was probably more hyped in the news than – do you remember Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton?
Oh,
does
yeah.
anyone remember the all the press hoo-ha about that movie? Gone with the Wind, I think, was much bigger and much more awaited and really a huge event.
And, you know, it had a lot of competition. That was the same year that they came out with the Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out with several other big name brand movies.
Mm-hmm.
Gone with the Wind just swept. And you know when they did the preview in California, there I guess close to Hollywood or somewhere around in there where the studios were, what they did was they had these little movie studios that people went to, you know, the regular movies. And they slipped in one night, and they were showing some popular movie. I don't remember what they were showing, but they had a large crowd in the little movie house. And anyway, when the feature ended, they locked all the doors, and they came up and they made an announcement to the people. They said, "We have a treat for y'all." We said, "We want all of you to stay. We've locked the doors, and we're going to preview a movie for y'all. It's the first time it's been previewed to anyone. It doesn't have the credits and everything on it, but we want to see what you think." And they announced that it was Gone with the Wind. And of course, those people went crazy. And so they sat there. I don't know what time it let out, because it was late then, and it was a four-hour movie. But they sat through that whole thing. And they said there wasn't a dry eye in that house. But they just lauded it. They loved it. And they knew instantly that they had a hit on their hands after that preview.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great. The casting was really good. They really hit it. The movie is well made.
Well, you don't get anything else like that out of Hollywood, and it's real sad, you know. The John Wayne movies were pretty good. They didn't have a lot of filth and vulgar and a lot of propaganda and all in them. And, of course, he never won an Academy Award either. You know, that's strange. You know, all the movies John Wayne put out,
yeah.
They never gave him an award.
Yeah.
And, of course, that was because he was, you know, he was kind of a patriotic individual. Of course, he was in there in Babylon with them, you know. I mean, like Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy was a tremendous individual. He was the most decorated Marine that this country, that our services have ever had. And, of course, he killed a lot of Germans, but he didn't know any better at that time. But he was a good patriotic individual, too. And, of course, he did get some awards and all. But he was a fine individual. And you don't have a lot of people like that coming out of Hollywood anymore.
Nope.
I don't know if y'all remember the movie To Hell and Back with Audie Murphy, but it was a very good movie. And, okay, I'm going to hush now. I said that while I was hoping. I didn't mean to get – y'all got you, – it's your fault. Y'all got me started.
Come on, folks. Call in.
Well, I've asked everybody to call in, and
well, I've got a question. I'd like James to call in. I want to know what the big fuss is with him and Lindstedt.
Yeah, I think that'd be an excellent subject to discuss.
I'd like to know. I mean, is that a case of mistaken identity and identity, or what's the problem there, James? Call in. Let us know. Man, everybody's been talking about Ernst Sandell tonight.
Yeah, I didn't know he was out of prison.
Is he out of prison on the strings, or are they just letting him out?
I don't know. I would like to.
I don't know. I want someone to call in.
I can't see those Jews just letting go. There's got to be some strings attached to this.
Well, apparently they're not letting him into the U.S. or Canada.
No. Like, you can't go near a computer.
Well, I'm on the Zundel site right now. Breaking news, Ernst Sandell, Europe's most famous political prisoner of conscience, has been released from Mannheim prison this morning, March 1st. Here he is with one of his defense attorneys, Dr. Herbert Schaller of Austria, both of them smiling broadly, and they show a picture. More details later in the day. I don't know when later in the day is because it's pretty late in the day right now, but there aren't more details yet, but maybe they're just celebrating instead, but that's okay. It doesn't say anything. There's some German language. No, that just says shame on Germany for the detested Holocaust. No, I don't read German. I'm reading the English version they have under it. And there's no there's nothing else on the site.
Hmm. More won't come out if you just got out today.
Mark, Sharon, I do not have the book that Eli mentioned. I would love to have that book. I looked for it, Legions of Satan, 1871, by Jonathan Williams, but I don't have it. I'd love to have that book. It sounded rather interesting. And yes, Patricia, I am going to have music. I'm going to have some sermons on the site, Yahweh willing, and I'll have lots of good Southern Confederate songs and things on there, and so I'm just really excited about it, and I hope y'all are enthused about it too.
Absolutely. Oh, James is here. Unmute him, Bill.
Am I unmuted?
Hello, James.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
God bless everybody.
God bless you, James.
So what's the story?
When are you coming east?
Well, I was talking to my boss today. He's trying to get me to stay a little bit longer. And I told him that if the weather is good, I'm going to leave at the end of this month. If it's not good, I'll probably postpone a little bit. It's funny because when I was younger, I would drive literally like a bat out of hell everywhere I wanted to go, and it didn't matter what the weather was. And now that I'm getting older, I'm a little bit more cautious.
Yeah, well, first time I drove out of state in 15 years together last week, and I got pulled over doing 79 and a 55. So
in Virginia.
No, in New York.
In New York. Wow. Well, I the speed limit out here on some of the roads is 75 and 80. So,
there's most of it's 65, but that most of the state highways are 55. Some of the interstate and some stretches are 65, and some are 55.
Yeah, it's a whole lot slower back east, and I'm going to have a hard time. I just know it.
Well, I'm driving with one headlight. I got a ticket for one headlight, but he didn't give me the speeding ticket. And I got the headlight fixed so that I don't have to pay the fine and sent the receipt, and I got it fixed the next day. And I went through four states like that, and I didn't have a problem until as soon as I crossed the New York state line, I got banged.
So this was coming back.
Yeah, I was in a rush to get back for a program I did with Clifton last Monday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've had to work almost every day, so I haven't really been able to keep up with the programs. It's kind of hard. I got to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow morning. So.
Yeah. Okay, well,
it's early
there yet. Patricia insists on knowing about this this fallout with Martin Lindstedt. I really don't know what transpired because – I haven't been. I heard it happen on Pastor Visser's board, and I haven't had the time to be there in a while. So maybe you want to. You want to elaborate on that, or just lay out the facts, or whatever.
Well, I'm going to be real general because, for one thing, as far as I know, all the posts concerning that particular incident are no longer available on CPM. And another thing, too, is that, you know, I really don't want to get into this. He said this, and I said that. I'm assuming that Lindstedt's a brother. And, you know, in my mind, he's he's wrong. I mean, his speech is not conducive to growing or spreading the CI message. It disturbs a lot of people. I've actually on other sites, Bill, when I'm posting at other sites, I always, and I'll only go to sites where, you know, they're concerned with white issues. And I always try to bring up CI and the fact that, you know, the white European race are the Israelites of old, and I give them background information. I reference your site quite a bit.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a mixed blessing because there are certain people, and I can't prove that they're Jews, but I can certainly guess probably correctly that they are. And evidently on one of your sites, either when I was trying to convince someone to go and introduce themselves on the chat room, or not the chat room, but the, you know, the forum, they evidently got a hold of some of Lindstadt's writings, and they started pasting it all, mixing it all in with my post, and it just became a really embarrassing moment.
Yeah, Lindstadt has a section on the forum that Krista Gunning.
Yeah, and evidently, well, some of the things, I never really paid that much attention to the guy, okay? I just never did. And when they posted it up there, I just couldn't believe that that was a CI guy. And sure enough, it was Lindstadt. And, you know, what do you say? But I just kind of sloughed it off. But it got to be a habit. And so one night, Obadiah on CPN, I may not be remembering.
Now which Obadiah? Because there's two Obadiahs going around. One's an American, the other one's from Australia, and one is a quite intelligent man, and the other one uses a the other Obadiah uses an icon of some, looks like some Hollywood bimbo. I don't know.
The problem, Obadiah, is the one that keeps using all these women avatars, and he's
right.
Either calling himself Obadiah 118 in one forum, and then he figured out, oh, they don't reference it that way. I think I'll change it. So he changed it over at your forum to Obadiah 18. He's left the impression until somebody cornered him that he was a female. But he was posting at DNNF and posing more or less as a female.
Well, I knew he was a male from his writing. I don't want to sound like a chauvinist, but I read a couple of his posts.
Yeah.
He's a dude. If he's not a dude, he has a serious problem.
Yeah.
No,
a gender identification problem.
Yeah, he's a guy. And I know that he's very tactful, but he's also very persistent. And I will say this in his defense, that whatever he says, he has the scripture to back him up. And he made the general comment one night that we should watch our speech. We should watch the way we talk. And I guess Lindstadt took it as a personal assault and that we were trying to force him to change his speech, which no one ever used that word that I'm aware of. And even if that were, that's just an unrealistic.
Obadiah made it a crusade. He pinpointed Lindstadt just as he pinpointed Cannabis Can Save You over in your forum. And
yeah,
that
may not last, because if he keeps on dogging Cannabis Can Save Us, I'm just going to dump him.
He dogs people, and he tries to create arguments and problems. I made another post at Visser's forum with regard to those descriptions about Jesus, Yeshua, the physical descriptions. And he came in and countered everything I said, which was fine. I don't care if people disagree with me. It's the instant tone and attitude of attack. It's the attitude of attempting to immediately create a problem. And he has a habit of this. He was at VNNF for a long time, but he was not saying he was male. he had that woman avatar up and was leaving the impression he was a female, and the VNNers all said, no way, you're no woman. If you're a woman, you're a very strange woman. Even they figured that out. I don't know what this guy's agenda is, but he's going around trying to create problems.
Well, and you know, I can understand your point, Pilgrim. I don't exactly see it that way. As a matter of fact, I think we probably need a little bit of a shaking up within CI. We don't want to become too complacent. We need to be prepared for the future and for things that are going to come. And how are we going to handle certain situations? What are we going to say? What are we going to do? Where's our focus? Those kinds of issues are things that we probably need to address anyway. My problem with Lindstedt was that, you know, he just came out of the gate, you know, everybody's a Jew, and, you know, just bad-mouthing every, you know, anybody that didn't agree with him was every name in the book. And I don't want to over-exaggerate it. I wish the posts were still there. Maybe Pastor Visser will put them back up. I don't know. But I really would rather everybody read the posts for themselves and come to their own conclusions, because I don't want to put just my spin on it. And it's not just, and I really could care less what Lindstedt thinks of me. That doesn't matter to me one bit. But he did threaten me with my life, and he threatened Jeff, who's a brother that I keep in contact with out of Virginia. He threatened him with his
life. Who is Jeff?
Jeff the Rebel. Rebel Jeff.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know him. He's from Virginia, and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get together when I get to Virginia. But he's a really good brother. He posts on Weapon of War, the blog site. Anyway, he's a really good guy.
I know somebody from Weapon of War posts some of my stuff, which I appreciate. I see some references in my site data from that site.
Yeah, he does, and I can't remember the guy's name. I'm really tired. But Jeff has his own site too, and he posts some really good stuff on there as well. But you know, just the incessant verbal attacks, and, you know, calling everybody a Jew, and I mean really some foul language, and even though scripture was presented to him, and then he turns and he attacks Pastor Visser, you know, and Visser gave him, Jeremy gave him some, a good opportunity to voice his sermons and things like that, and I thought it was really low for him to just turn on everybody like he did, and, you know, not to be able to accept a general rebuke. I mean, what are we if we can't, I mean, what good are we to one another? If all we're going to do is just say good things about one another, no matter what we're doing, what good are we to each other? I mean, we've got to.
Well, right. We all have to learn to take a little criticism.
Exactly.
Let me say, I know that Martin's language is very often very vulgar, and I believe that, yeah, you know, I think I know why he's that way, and the crowd that he usually addresses that towards, and I don't have a problem with that, because I know his background, and in a lot of ways, even though he's a redneck and I'm a Yankee, my backgrounds are the same, but I also know that it doesn't belong everywhere.
Exactly, and my thing is, you know, like I said, I really didn't pay much attention to it. For one thing, I don't go much for colloquialisms and for all that kind of stuff. I like to read stuff that's plainly written out. I don't have to try and decipher what they're trying to say. Seven of None says, what was the nature of the threat on your life, James? It was a general threat. You know, I was listening to something that was given to me tonight, and it was stated on there, you know, that he's real loyal to his friends, and those that oppose him won't be opposing him for very long, that kind of thing.
That's like Martin. Martin writes that way all the time.
I know he does, and I just don't think it's appropriate. I don't.
And see, Martin has relegated those kinds of writings and posts to his own forums, sub-forums, and Visitors. He does it at Stumble Inn in his own forum. He does it here at his own forum. Until you get somebody like Obadiah18 who tries to lure it out into the rest of the forum. This Obadiah very specific in what he's doing, and he knows what he's doing.
Well, I think we need to give everyone all of our TENS people the benefit of the doubt until we see that they are teaching something that is definitely unscriptural.
Just don't assume because somebody can quote scripture and present themselves on the internet that they are kinsfolk. There are plenty of trolls who can pose as any number of things, and they're not very upfront in what they're about and what they want to do. That's why you have to kind of watch patterns of behavior.
Well, I do, and I'm very aware of the Jew pattern of behavior, and so far I haven't detected any of that. There are kins people who disagree with the CI message and who will try to cause problems.
There are Paul Bashers who infiltrate and pretend to be one thing and then turn out to be something else.
Exactly. And we all have to be on our guard. We all always have to be on our guard. But I don't look at any of this in a negative light. I look at it all in a very positive way. For one thing, it would not happen if it wasn't meant to be. And another thing is that every time we face a difficult challenge, it's a learning experience. And so I honestly do not hold any ill will towards Lindstedt.
You shouldn't take it too terribly personal with Martin, I think. Because unfortunately, this is why I have stayed out of this whole thing. I like Martin, I like you, I like Matt, I like Jeff. I don't want to be in this thing. I like Pastor Visser. I could go on for days about what I think, who was right here and who was wrong there and et cetera. But, really the bottom line is that you guys, I think, unfortunately, came upon Martin's radar at the wrong time in the wrong way, and Martin reacted the way Martin reacts.
And
that's the way he is.
But Martin needs to grow. He needs to grow from that. I mean, that is, to me, that's perfectly painfully obvious. If you're going to be a pastor, you've got to be the kind of person that's going to lead people into the sheepfold. And like I said, I have been...
Well, Martin leads a different kind of person. I mean, that's about all I can say. Martin appeals to and is directed towards a different kind of person. And yes, Martin's, I read some of his stuff and I'll hit a paragraph and I know what's coming. I'll jump over it because I know he's off on a roll. I've heard the four-letter words and all the rest of it. And, I don't need to hear it anymore because that's just the way he is sometimes. But he's...
Instead of, we all have our opinions here, but what does the word say?
It doesn't say thou shalt not curse.
In Ephesians, it talks pretty clearly about our speech and how it is to be, the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be speaking in that way.
Well, right. Let no foul thing come out of your mouth. And there's several other admonitions to speak. I'm looking for an adjective that fits, and it's not on the tip of my tongue. To speak, I don't want to say properly or civilly, but because we shouldn't be weak when we don't need to be, but we should speak with it doesn't have to be eloquent one speech. It could be plain, but it should be irreproachable.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm no prude. Okay, I can cuss up with the best of them. And I have in the past. And I can also hear the words and it doesn't offend my virgin ears. And I do believe that, you know, a colorful word every now and then well-placed does emphasize a point. But I just think we've got to be careful because the way I look at it is this. Our focus is Yahweh, Yahshua Yahweh. That is our focus. And if we're all looking at that same focus, we're all heading in that same direction, we're going to do, and we love our kinspeople. You know, we love our kinspeople above ourselves. You know, and Yahshua set the perfect example for this. So everything that we do and our speech and the way we lead our life and the way we deal with one another, these are all things that should be with that focus in mind. And also when others from outside, other kinspeople from without, outside of us look at us, they want what we have, you know. Not that we drive them away, but that they want what we have. Because what we have is the truth. I mean, there are so few of us that have it. And I just want to see all of our kinsmen, every one of them, being given a proper opportunity to be able to reject the truth based on something other than where they can lay the blame at our feet and say, well, look at how them people act. Do you want to be a part of that? Now, with all that said and done, like I said, everything that happens, happens for a reason. If we didn't have to face, I believe that Yahweh is preparing us for times to come. And so we have to learn how to deal with one another and how to deal with the issues that we face, because then we will be readily prepared when those times come to deal with the world. Now, I could give a rat's ass what a Jew thinks, okay? I just hate them. I loathe them with every fiber of my being. I loathe them. And so, yeah, I'll call a Jew a few choice names. But I'm going to be kind and good to my kinspeople, always, even to Lindstedt. And everything that I have said with the hope that he will repent and grow, because I do believe, based on Scripture, and if anybody doesn't believe that, just go and read Ephesians. I do believe that the Scripture admonishes us to be careful of our speech and to not to engage in coarse gestures and joking and all the things that the world considers to be funny. We're not to engage in those things.
We're not. You're right. But there's a lot of things about speech that we mistake, and I believe. And I've been censured myself for calling certain people whores and bitches. And I mean it when I say those words. I'm sorry. I mean it.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I agree.
But I would argue that they're biblical terms, and
yeah.
I'm not making a slander.
Exactly.
I'm stating what I believe to be true.
Exactly. It's just like bastard. You know, I try to use the word manser, okay, because it's less offensive to other people. But it means bastard. I mean, you know? And,
right.
And I have no problem using that word.
Well, when I use those words, the effect that I get is the effect that I want to achieve is equivalent to taking a brick and slamming that person in the head with it. And usually that's the way it's received, so it quite often works.
You know, I think there's another issue here that James is probably alluding to. You know, I think we all say that Martin, you know, uses this kind of language and has a certain audience, and maybe it's effective there. But my question is, Bill, for net gain. I mean, is he growing the kingdom with this, or is he turning off as many or more people with his language than he is leading them to the kingdom?
Well, you know, let me say something. In Martin's defense, I'll say that sometimes his colloquialisms and his sarcasm can be effective. And they're most effective when he uses that speech at an absolute minimum. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he uses it, you know, as punctuation or whatever, but when he goes on a roll, man, he's just,
Well, right. It doesn't belong everywhere, but that, you know, if Martin chooses to use it, that's Martin. But I would say it doesn't belong everywhere all over our public forums. I know there's a time for it and there's a place for it. Yes.
I would be happy if Martin just cooled it down when he's dealing with other kinspeople and gave us the benefit of the doubt.
Well, right, but we can't, you know, we can't try to force Martin to change like Obadiah 18 is doing. And we have to love our brethren, and when we have to correct them, we should do it humbly. But we can't force each other to change. And we're supposed to love each other, but we're not necessarily told that we're going to like each other. There's a big difference there. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And Obadiah probably should have approached Martin on a private level first, and if Martin refused correction, then Obadiah should have washed his hands and walked the other way.
Right. Obadiah's made it a crusade, and you have to understand that Martin's been in this for many years, and Martin has dealt with infiltrators, trolls, provocateurs of every kind on this Internet. And Martin is probably a little quick to jump. He recognizes something that he sees as signs of one of those individuals on his horizon. Obadiah was clear in the way he approached this whole thing. And I don't blame Martin for seeing an attack coming at him. And
well,
secondly,
yeah, but you know, when you start talking about checking underneath someone's dress,
yeah, he goes too far. He's strong. But you have to remember too that, like I said, Martin has been pretty good about restraining his language to his own sub forums. He doesn't scatter it everywhere. And he does it stumble in his forums, and it stumble in, that's fine. They don't care. But this whole argument about you're driving people away, I can't bring people here. Well, first of all, you have to remember this is not Judeo-Christianity. This is CI. And number one, you don't evangelize in CI the way you do in Judeo-Christianity. You're not expecting numbers because you're not going to get them. And if those people are being drawn to CI by Yahweh to have their eyes open to truth, they will see Bill Fink, Clifton Emma Heiser, Pastor Visser. They will see the teachings. They will hear the word, and they will grow. And you and I will have nothing to do with that, and neither will Martin. So this concept that Martin is driving them away in droves, I'm sorry, it just doesn't really apply here. If they're going to use Martin as an excuse for leaving.
I don't know the extent to whether people are being driven from or driven to CI with Martin's post. What I can only say from personal experience is that when I have posted information on various sites about Christian identity directed specifically to my kinspeople, that there and have referenced Bill's site, that there have been posters who have taken portions of Martin's writings and started basically spamming the thread with his stuff. Now, I don't know whether or not that drives people to or away from.
Well, that's part of forum life. You know, you get forum denizens that, you know, they think that's fun. They do that stuff.
I'm just concerned, and I have stated my concerns about this. I've also believe that there is scriptural basis for my concern. And I wish Martin were here to either defend or refute or agree or whatever. But again, you know, it doesn't matter to me what Martin thinks about me personally. And, you know, if that was my purpose, I'd join a glee club or something because that's, you know. But at the same time, I do hope, you know, whether he ever admits publicly or whatever, that he has seen the light, that he does see the light in this area, and that he changes. That's my prayer.
Well, he shouldn't be so quick to slam good brethren that are wrong. I mean, he might. Maybe we should pray that he has greater discernment in that area in the future. That's for sure.
Well, James, I sure appreciate your measured tone here, and thank you for clearing this up because people were saying, what is he attacking James over? You know, I mean, calling you an infiltrator and a Jew and all this.
Well, we know that's definitely not true.
We know you to be a brother of the highest caliber, and we were, you know, going like, what's going on with that? So I appreciate you willing to talk about it. Thank you.
Martin is nothing if not hyperbolic.
He's definitely a character.
Yes.
I will give him that much.
And you also have to understand that everybody who's been around CI for any amount of time knows Martin, and they know that. And just because he calls you an infiltrator and a Jew doesn't mean all of us think that you are. You know.
Well, you know, it's like you said, there are two. There are basically, as far as Martin's writings are concerned, there are basically two types of people. They're going to be the kind that are going to look at it and just go, you don't want to read more. I'm the kind of person, I remember opening one of his articles once a while ago. And
he really can write without using any four-letter words.
Huh?
He really can write without using four-letter words and all sorts of crazy language.
Oh, well,
and if you see one of his pieces like that, he makes a lot of great points. But
that's great.
Martin gets extreme sometimes.
Email me one.
I'll find some links. I'll send you some links.
Okay.
I'll read two scriptures because this is a it is a Christian program, right? Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And Titus 2:8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part, I'm reading this from the King James, can't you tell? That he is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And that's the recommendations, and that's the scripture of Paul.
Yeah, yeah. And they're excellent guidelines. I don't have a disagreement with it, you know, at all. I think it would be nice if Martin would relax a little bit.
Well, I thought it was only fair to read it and illustrate it. I mean, I'm not an angel by any means, and Patricia joked with me that I had Martin on the program so that people could see what a puppy dog I am.
Well, and that's the funny thing, you know, if you listen to Martin talk Martin is a pretty good guy and a pretty loyal guy, and when you talk to him, you hear him talking on the air, you don't hear this fire breathing monster that comes across sometimes in his writings. And,
I don't know about that, Pilgrim.
Oh, well, he can, but, yeah, you know.
I try to take into consideration his own experiences, you know. It's just like I could never know what Bill went through. For, what, 12 years, Bill?
Well, yeah, I actually spent 24 years of my life in jails and prisons. On one side of the bars for 12, and then on the other side of the bars for 12, and it's being around street people all your life. You adopt customs and habits that are defensive, and you learn real quick that some people only understand vulgarity, profanity, and violence, and that's the only thing they respect. And that's, you know, that becomes a part of you. That's the way it is.
And I would say this much, you know, in the things that are to come, I think people are going to find the Martins of the world are going to come in handy.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, there's no doubt about that in my mind. And you know, it's just like, well, it's just like I said, you know, everything in the world, everything happens to the good for those that love the Lord, love Yahweh. And just as I am absolutely certain that there is a reason why Martin had to go through what he went through to get to the point where he is, he may not have fully matured there yet, but there's a definite reason why it happened, just like there was with Bill. I mean, think of where we would be if he hadn't been in prison that time, studying Greek, learning CI, and coming out ready, sword drawn, and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd all be far less informed than we are today.
Well, I'll tell you,
everything happens for a reason.
If you look around the CI landscape, there are very, very few, very few who have any legitimate scholarship or teaching to offer. You have lots of whack jobs running around with strange doctrines, but if you can count them on one hand, who do you have at the moment? You have Bill Fink. You have Clifton Emmaheiser. You have Eli James. You have Pastor Visser. And there may be small churches out there with guys teaching who are solid, but we don't, you know, we don't have access to them here or know about them. But you tell me any more than those four that are on the Internet getting information out that's solid?
Well,
there aren't
none
many.
That are alive.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you have to go to one of their websites to get garner information on from Wesley Swift or Bertrand Comparé. But there's everybody else who's out there is a little peculiar.
Well, you don't find any biblical scholars outside of CI. I have not found one that is worth their weight in salt outside of CI. They just do not exist. They all are universalist or Judeo-mansers.
That's right.
You know, they just don't have anything to offer me at all. Okay? There is not one. So all the scholars, all the biblical scholars are with NCI. And I stand by that statement because I have looked. Believe me, I've been all over the Internet.
I like Ken Lent. He's very quiet. I'd like to get him on here, and I'm going to try to do that. We spoke about a month ago, and he sounded like a pretty solid. I don't know if we agree on everything, and I know there's a couple of things we disagree on, but he sounds like a pretty solid, well-rounded, well-spoken guy. He's done a lot of good work with showing that the founding of this nation was on Christian principles and things like that. Yeah, you know, he has his special areas of interest. I like Ken Lent.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more from him.
And Robert Balakaius, and we don't agree on everything either. I do sponsor a website for him. I host a website for him. It's his website, stm.christogenia.org. And he has a lot of good scholarship too. And we don't agree on everything, but we agree on most things.
Pastor Dan.
Smart guy.
Pastor Dan, I think, is a sincere guy. I think he's a good entry person, you know.
Well, Dan doesn't have he's not a writer and he doesn't have a website.
Yeah.
You know, where a guy like Robert Balakaius has written maybe 15, 20 books, and Ken Lent has a website and is a pretty good writer. The scope of Pastor Lent's website is it's fairly narrow. The title is solosabbath.org, www.solo.
I've been on there. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a lot more than on the site than just about the Sabbath, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he that's the thrust of his website because of all these lunar Sabbath lunatics that run around and can he's affected by that. He's surrounded by those people down south and I think he likes to address that.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if you could get him on.
The more
yeah,
we have, the better.
I'm going to try shortly. I just sent him my CD set a few weeks ago.
Well, everybody, I've got a rock. I've got some software to fight with as usual. But I'll say, yeah, bless. And thank you again, James, for illuminating what was going on there so we can all worry that you're not an infiltrator. We can put that to rest. And, thanks, John. Night, Bill. Night, Pilgrim. See you, Joe.
Good night, Pilgrim.
Hey,
Pat,
I'm getting a little bit jealous of this job you've got now because you always have to run. I guess she's gone. All right, so.
You have a new caller, Bill.
Well, that caller just got banned.
Oh,
he's a
okay.
Moron. I'm not here to argue with morons. I'm not here to argue with Jews or atheists or morons. And Ananda Sama, it may as well go back to Hymetown and find himself a black whore because that's what Jews do best. And I'm going to stop there.
Good. I didn't know. Thank you.
We don't want to have to ban you.
Oh. Well, we need some more people to call in.
MacDog wants to know why I booted her. MacDog, go look at what he typed. I'm not here to argue with idiots. I mean, this is a Christian forum, and nobody else is welcome. I don't care. This ain't a democracy. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to apologize for that. I'm not sorry.
Well, Daryl, I wanted to just take the opportunity, since I'm online, to just thank you for all the knowledge you have as far as the South and the Civil War and all that's concerned, and your extensive library and all the knowledge you've got here. I find this stuff fascinating. Maybe it's because I'm a Southerner. But, no, I could listen to you talk for hours about that kind of stuff.
Well, thank you, James, but I'm always afraid that I may bore people, and I don't want to do that. I love all my kinsmen, every one of them, everybody in the chat room. I have no problem with anyone. You know, I just would like to see us all work together and be brethren and not find fault with one another. And, you know, and obey the simple rules that have been laid out. Not by me or other people, but largely by the host of the programs. I've never tried to set the stage for anybody on any topic. But it grieves me for anyone to have ill feelings or be at fault with any other brethren.
Amen.
And when the day comes, as a commander always says about the final trumpet, you know, we need to all be there, and we need to be unified, and we need to be together. And we're going to have to depend on each other. Of course, Yahshua is going to lead us. But, you know, we're all going to be in that army together.
Exactly.
And, I just wanted to say that because, I think that there may be some people out there that have ill feelings, and I wouldn't have it for the world, because I love them all. I love everybody. And but anyway, thank you for your kind words. Believe it or not, I've received a lot of emails and a lot of telephone calls, and I'm kind of astounded a little bit because I didn't think I did a very good job on my presentation. You know, I'm learning. I've been out of the circuit. I used to give speeches, and I was very active in organizations for many, many years, but I've been out of practice for a long time, and I'm trying to get back into the groove again, and I pray to Yahweh that he'll give me the strength and the courage and the ability to do these things. So anyway, thank you, and I just appreciate everybody.
Well,
thank you, Gerald.
I couldn't listen to you last Tuesday because I had to work, and normally I'm off Tuesdays, but I do intend to go back and listen to the recording of it.
It's right on the forum under alternative media.
Right.
And guest 22, I'm sorry, that wasn't me. I'd never been in a New York County jail, thankfully. Right, guess 21, that's right. In an army, only 1 out of 10 actually really fight. It is usually the way it works. In a successful army, anyway.
Yes, that's a good point. Not everybody's called to be the same way or to do the same thing.
No, this situation's unfortunate. I mean, I like Martin. And I know that he has a public relations problem, let's put it that way. But I also know that there is that there is a necessity for men like Martin and somebody, it's not really a fair assessment. I like to call him the CI pastor to the Jerry Springer crowd. Okay, you know, because he's in the forums, he's in these forums, and he's dealing with the trolls and getting his hands dirty, and he may enjoy doing that, but somebody has to do it.
Hey, they like him at Stumble In. Stumble In has a lot of the younger, smart-ass guys, you know?
Yeah.
Who are not Christian.
Right.
But they listen to Martin. They interact with Martin. They would not interact with some little party.
That's exactly right. I know from being in prison, from hanging out with bikers, from hanging out with meth heads, from hanging out. You know, Eli James is a very likable and affable man, and he's very friendly and intelligent. And he's not going to go over with a lot of that crowd. He's just not. I'm sorry.
No.
It's just we can't all appeal to everybody. That's the way it is.
No, if you went over to Stumble In making your nice, sweet little posts and, you know, hi, and I have this nice little news story, and what do you think? And they would come in and just tread you. It wouldn't
well,
take
right.
5 seconds.
But a guy like Martin would fit right in with the crowd.
Absolutely.
And we need some of that. We just do.
And he has developed a real fan base there, even the ones who argue with him, you know? So everybody does a different thing.
Right.
May I interject something here, not to change the subject, but I noticed there's some chat going on in the chat room. Commander and Mark are discussing some symbolage. There is Tex Mar put out a DVD along with a guy named Friedman, and it's called Codex Magica. And it is on secret signs, mysterious symbols, and hidden codes of the Illuminati. And I reviewed that this afternoon, and it is very, very good. And it's covering some of the very things that Mark and Commander are discussing. For instance, on the pyramid, and a lot of that does go back to Freemasonry. And even beyond, it goes way, way back to the, even to the Egyptians. But, this is one of the best explanations that I've come across, on just one, DVD. And I'm not promoting Tex Mar in any way, but, this is a very good one. And I would suggest them getting it because, what he does cover, he covers a lot of the signs in Freemasonry, and then he shows individuals, the presidents and rock stars and all the people a lot of people in history and all, and they're giving these gestures and signs, and once you see it, it is amazing that these people are doing this in broad daylight in front of us and laughing.
Hey,
it all goes back to occults, and of course, you know, when you do that, you trace it right back to the Jews.
Well, Pat, I saw pictures of Pat Robertson doing the El Diablo sign while praying on the 700.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. And that is on this DVD. Pat Robertson, it's amazing, and like I said, until you have a lot of that pointed out to you, and then you see it in action. And how brazen these people are. Bushes and the both of the Bush guys and Clinton and Hillary and all of these people. Of course, Obama does it. But it's amazing that they do all this, and they're laughing in our face.
Where
and we don't understand it.
Well, where is this movie?
Well, it's a DVD, you probably have to... I don't know where I can probably find out where to get it. It was sent to me by someone, but it's called Codex Codex Magica, Magica, and it's part one and two, and it's very good. Now, it's not the last word by any means, but I think it's a good beginner for people who want to find out more about. A lot of these symbols and I think it answers some of the things that Commander and Mark were discussing. But I would urge people to get a hold of that and learn a little bit because I think we need to know these things. In addition to knowing the Holy Scriptures, which is Yahweh's word is first and foremost. But I believe we need to know a lot of history around us and a lot of this type of stuff so that we can better understand what's going on.
Absolutely. I mean, I think people, especially in Judeo-Christianity and in Christianity in general, make the big mistake of thinking that all they have to do is sit around and read the Bible all day. The Bible is not really, the Bible is general, and it can also be confusing until you match it up with the historical references.
Well, right. The Bible makes no sense until it's fitted into the great historical picture.
Exactly.
And you have to know your enemy.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you know, speaking of those kinds of movies, I hate to mention this name, but has everyone seen the DC Street Sorcery that Pastor Peters produced?
What's he up to now? Is he still conducting the Negro of the Month Club?
No, but this is really an excellent video. It covers the layout of the design of Washington, D.C. and all the occult symbols that have been placed there.
Yeah,
in
but that's not, knowledge of that is nothing new.
No, but it's an interesting video all laid out together with the diagrams and everything.
Okay. It's, yeah, you know, the real shame is that Peters doesn't spend more of his video money informing people on who the enemy is and the fact that they should be staying away from Negroes, not having them as pets.
Well, he used to. He slipped a bit.
Well, speaking of Egypt, and I know Gerald mentioned Egypt, going back to Egyptian time. Bill, I just posted an article I found on European Union Times on your forum. They just found an 8-foot, and this is just the head, statue, and I'm trying to think of the name of the pharaoh's name, but I can't recall it right off the top of my head. But I posted it on the forum, and this statue, there is no doubt about it. This is a European style. I mean, disease.
Oh, then I need that for my I need a picture of that for my Egyptian page on the Christogenia overview.
Well,
I got a page of called Ancient Egypt with all pictures of white pharaohs, you know.
I just posted it on the forum, so it's under, I think it's under the Old Testament or Biblical History or something, one of those topics. But, yeah, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. It was clearly.
Yeah, well, the black pharaohs came in the 8th century when the Nubians overran Egypt. And black pharaohs ruled Egypt for about 50 years. And even once the Egyptians recovered and were able to throw off the Nubian yoke, they still never got rid of the blood. Yeah, you know, it's just like Portugal. Or southern Spain. You could take the land back from the infidel, but you can't get rid of the blood.
Yeah.
Oh, Yahweh, I hope Obama's not pharaoh for 50 years.
Do I?
I hope Obama's not pharaoh or president for 50 years.
For 50 years, yeah.
I was reading an article today. Again, I only skimmed over it because I wanted to make it to the show tonight. But evidently they're saying that Obama's grooming Palin for the president. The next president, which, you know, the article seemed to have some good points to make, but European Union Times is a really good place to go to read articles of interest to white people. So, I would say
is he giving her an afro? Is he grooming her?
No, but I did see a picture of her. She had a little six-point star of Satan. For Israel star on her little lapel.
Oh, she's got an Israeli flag in her office, I think.
Yeah.
What's the name of the paper again, James? I'm sorry.
European Union. Let me make sure I'm giving it to you correctly.
Well, I'm doing a search on my forum so I could find that post so I could steal the picture. But
I've got the link on there, too. So
I came up with nothing.
Incidentally, I see where Pastor Lindstedt is joined in the chat room. Maybe he could be invited to call in.
Yes, he's more than welcome to call in.
Hello, everybody. This is Bruce.
Hello, Bruce. How you doing? Praise Yahweh.
Oh, hey, Bert. Praise Yahweh. I'm driving through the Moron Mountains of Salt Lake City.
Bruce, I guess you won't be stopping by tonight.
Not Bruce, tonight. I couldn't answer you when you Skyped me today. It kept breaking up.
That's okay. Yahweh bless you there, Gerald. You good man of God. I'm not offended. I don't take any offense.
That site is eutimes.net, by the way.
All right, I'll do a search for that. Maybe I'll come up with something better.
It's on the form.
There we go. Thank you. That came right up. Yeah, well, that's the same as most of the heads I have on. It's the same type of Egyptian art.
Yeah, and this is the most well preserved one they've found to date. They're saying.
I heard that one of the evil gods in Egypt mythology's name was Pepsi. They have people drinking that down every day.
Well, it was a Pharaoh Pepe. Pharaoh
Pepe.
And I think there was a one and a two.
Oh.
But yeah, it wasn't really Pepsi. Come on.
There was a full flavor. There was a zero calorie.
Yeah,
you hear a lot of things.
Yeah, I'll just save a copy of this picture, but it's not really a great one, but that's okay. Pastor Winstead, what's happening?
Oh, I'm pretty well fighting with bell priests and mamzers who want to go ahead and force their will on the white people of Christian Israel. Visser said he wasn't going to go ahead and show up on my show, and then he went on and on and on and on, didn't even mention my name, and eventually I think he decided that he had no choice but to go ahead. And so for about the first couple minutes, his wife gets on, sounds like she's clanking pots and pans or something, and I just go ahead and mute the call, and I just pretty well go ahead and see the problem is that well, I was talking with Pastor Sixkiller, and we're going ahead and discussing Gillette's church, and this Brian Ride, an obvious, gook-eyed mamzer. The problem of it is he's been with Visser for, he says, nearly 6 years, but we can pretty well count for over 5 years. And he goes ahead and he just. Goes on and on and on, and we're pretty well arguing, but I decided to go ahead and name episode number 6 of the movement Turd. Visser tries to blow smoke up the turd's ass, and what it boils down to is that, I mean, Visser's so busted. I mean, I don't really want to go ahead and name the name of the old man who was a trustee of the Church of the Sun, Church of the Sons of Yahweh, but from what I gather, about six, seven years ago, some old Nazi who had anywhere from a state of 1 to maybe as much as $4 million, with 40% to the Church of Sons of Yahweh, back when Ray Redfern was running it. And Zog pretty well learned that you don't want to go ahead and cause too much trouble. You don't want to go ahead and people like us have money. I went ahead and called this guy in the nut house and told him about how we had anywhere from 400,000, if it ever 400,000, to about 1.6 million if it ever got loose. And he laughed his head off and said, "Well, I wouldn't want you guys to have any money either. Don't tell what you do with it." He was probably talking about buying guns and stuff like that. And I said, "Well,
no, they'd be more afraid that we started publishing books."
Well, yeah, I'm more afraid of that. I really honor the people of the order, and that's why I've caused trouble for Trader Glenn Miller. But the thing about it is that supposed bank robbery of $3.1 million in California It brought us Trader Glenn Miller. It brought us Dan Gaiman. It brought us, about the only one who ever actually made any money off of it was, probably William Pierce. And supposedly he got $400,000, and a lot of people thought he was working with Zog too. And, Gillette's, Gillette's nonsense got him in trouble. And, a guy named Les went ahead and called me and said, I'm going to go ahead and give a donation to, you, Pestilence. I said, no, go give it to Wicked and Fake. But, he probably needs it more than I do. But, the money does exist, and this Brian Wright's been nosing around. And pretty well, the main problem is we end up having a Bill Priest and Mamzer incursion from this Obadiah 118, and it comes on, and whines, you don't like the words I'm using. And, so who cares? If you don't like listening to what I have to say, don't listen to it. If you don't like reading what I have to write, don't read it. And,
Well, Pilgrim explains that this Obadiah sort of seeks to cause division wherever he goes.
Well, it does cause division. I mean, when the critter came on, it was it'd been on there for 6 days on Visser's new form, and immediately is profanity necessary in Christian identity? Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I viewed it as a wedge issue. I've been in the movement, and it used to be that if you were on the internet, about every 6 months, the same little meme would circulate. And if you've been in the movement in a certain time, this thing happened, goes again, again, again. I realized it was an attack on me. And, I just pretty well just said, well, no, it's not necessary. Well, Pastor Britton, he went ahead and stayed up Saturday and found out this Obadiah had pretty well pretend to be Linder's pet CI Tard, and they allowed this critter. And, even the VNNF Tards picked up on the fact that the critter is a gender bender of some sort. And, he'd pretend to go ahead, it comes on, it shows an avatar of a young 21-year-old drop-dead gorgeous young white woman. And then you end up having these idiots think that every single time they're talking to a 21 or 20-year-old white woman.
Well, they'll be looking for a date right away, I
yeah,
guess.
I mean, what happens is that their little gonads do their thinking for them. Well, I gotta go ahead and plug in my cell phone because I just heard this thing. But the idiots go ahead and assume that, and the critter ends up having its way. At the same time, I go ahead. Here comes Brian Wright. He gets about the same time. Here's Brian Wright. Here's all these other idiots screaming and yelling and hollering. I don't even know who they are. Don't really care to know who they are. I mean, it's not.
There are 300 million of us, and it says that anything that goes against the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, we don't.
Martin.
Yeah, what's that? I heard something.
I don't know. I didn't know if it was coming from you. Maybe it's coming from.
No, it ain't coming from me. But in any case, these people show up, and I usually look upon it as really a restorative, because when it was successful, in the case of Debbie Downey and Maggie Butts and Andy Anderson way back in 2000 in Holy Wars, the end result is that they end up kicking out all the dual seedliners, and then they formed a ghetto, and that ghetto didn't last very long. Because parasites, they just simply can't live on each other. But you got to go ahead and wonder that here are these people go ahead and making up new laws, new rules, and my interpretation of the law is what ought to be. And what you end up having is you end up having these Baptist hobbyists and Pentecostal lint heads, and they come in and they got to go ahead and drag in the same stupid crap that they ran away from, and they got to go ahead and make it. It's just like California people. They show up, and oh, there ain't enough cops. So there ain't enough. There ain't a cop on every city corner. And oh, your schools. Why? They're not advanced enough. And your taxes are way too low to provide for the services we got. And they try to go ahead and turn California. And I used to ask, well, why did you move? Well, we didn't like the way it became California. So, well, if you turn this place in California, then where are you going to run to? Now, they have no answer to that. That's the same way with these people. Christianity is supposed to be a liberating religion. Why do you need Whiggers to tell you, or Whiggers or Mamzers to tell you what to do, you know, if you're going ahead and running away from Jews telling you what to do? And there's no point to it. If people don't like what I say, they don't have to listen. But along with Brian Wright, pretty well the problem was way back in August, he shows up for the third time, and what he done the second time, you know, me and John Britton run him off the first time by showing his picture, and everybody seen the flat eyes and the prison pads. He ran off because he had some place to run off to. This Randy Krager's Wolf's Front Crew 38. He came back in April, and he didn't have anything to go along with. And then he got to going ahead and threatened to pay some criminal to drive from East St. Louis to take care of me in return for paying his car payments. And I laughed at that. I said, look, you know, an ordinary criminal is not going to go ahead and go through all these small towns with a gun and chance 5 to 15 years automatic send to the federal prison. And once he got there, you know, what might happen is he don't know if I have a shotgun or SKS behind the door and going to go ahead and cut him in two with that, which I'd have a perfect right to do. And he went ahead and he threatened John Britton, and he pretty well published his home address and his cell phone and his home phone from when he used to go ahead and talk to John Britton. And he got banned. So he comes back in July and he says, well, Mr. Pratt said if I was good, he'd let me back on. And, old Brian Wright isn't good. He's back to his own old tricks. And he goes ahead, you know, around the 3rd of August, he says, oh, by the way, I used to be, you know, I never was told I was officially out of the Church of the Sons of Yahweh. And I want to go ahead and form a committee to remove John Britton and put Pastor Jeremy Visser in. And, you know, Visser's admin or his brother, who I call Fruit Loop Visser, went ahead and said, well, Brian, would you like to have your own sub-forum? And, no, I mean, I pretty well smelled the rat. And I mean, Brian Wright was trying to go ahead and get back in. Here's Visser trying to go ahead and get back control because John Britton's senior pastor. Now, legally, it wouldn't work because Article 2, Section 2 of the Church, of the Constitution and Bylaws say that the acting senior pastor has absolute control. And John Britton was the senior pastor. Pretty well Gillette screwed up his church, gave his forum to, Rick Spring, and, they went ahead and deleted the entire forum and and most of the webpage. And, there was not much left.
Well, the bottom line is that whenever you see any money, you're going to have infiltrators and thieves and people trying to get their claws on it, right? I mean, that's the way it is.
Well, you see money, but it, in some cases, doesn't even have money. You end up having a gathering of white men, and what happens? Some Mamzer or Jew or whatever has to go ahead and essentially try to establish control. And over the years, I've had a number of these people who, you know, they get quite frustrated because they can't go ahead and take me down, you know, with, you know, because I'm something. I mean, people know my name. They know my face. They now know my voice. And they sort of think they can go ahead and pull me down from an anonymous email account and or an anonymous Hotmail account or an anonymous Internet account. And, you know, there was this guy named Carcass here. I called him Carcass over on Stumbling. And he came up with, he got mad because I ran off his buddy from, you know, from Flanders. And He went ahead and put up an avatar, and he said, well, taking down Linstead. Well, I said, how's taking down Linstead concerned? I went ahead and logged on where I'm spying over on four fag thieves and found out that he was Argentinian. And then more likely it's that party Jew Manzer. And then I went ahead and tied him with, Stan or Jimbo Gomez and the rest of them. And I said, look, why are you operating in Belgium? Because supposedly they have a hate crimes unit. And all three of you are out of them. In Europe, they have usually the government runs one of the main, it runs the post office and it runs the telephone company. The post office and telephone company are the same, just like it is in Germany. And that's the way it is in Belgium and their main ISP, So how come you're running that when less than a half mile away is the major Belgian hate crimes task force of Europe or something like that? I mean, how can you do that? Hmm. I figured out that four or five thieves was just another Zog false front. And that's what Zog goes ahead and tries to pull. But they're especially scared of Aryan nations, and they've been trying to infiltrate for years. And sometimes it goes amok, like in the case of Randy Weaver, and they wanted to go ahead and trap him into spying on the Aryan nations. And so they induced him to go ahead and shorten the shotgun barrel. And then the end result was that was his son got shot in the back and his wife got shot in the head. And he was tried for murder. And, it turned out to be something that didn't turn out too good for Zog, but they keep on bringing these people in all the time. And, you gotta wonder. I mean, yeah, I don't know who you are. I just know what you're trying to do. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to go ahead and bring this stuff from the Baptist church or something like that. And when I see somebody trying to go ahead and tell white men what to do, I immediately suspect a Mamzer or a Jew or there's something wrong with them. And, in the case of Visser, he's been hanging out with Brian Wright and he was whining about, how I'd create a Brian Wright sock puppet. Look, Visser, way back when you were saying that you were going to resign on 9/9/09, you complained and you whined about how all these Russian porn spammers were, joining up and selling Cialis or spam or porn. I said, look, what I did is I just get to where I have to approve before you're allowed to post anything. And then about a week or so ago, Pilgrim saying, well, somebody comes in as mod admin. And I said, no, I had the same thing happen, and I had to go ahead and go into the guts of V-Bulletin and essentially make it to where people who want to sign up can't look at the other members' names.
Well, right. Fortunately, I got Pilgrim as a good moderator, and she helps. But if I didn't have some good moderators, I would probably have to do the same thing.
Okay, well, PHTBB is different than V-Bulletin. Now, PHTBB is sort of like driving a well-made Chevrolet, whereas V-Bulletin is like driving a Peterbilt big truck. So, I mean, they pretty well use the same thing. I like V-Bulletin because it's prettier. But in any case, they go ahead and they go on, and the thread goes on and on and on. I'm just hearing a bunch of nonsense, and this Matthew Ott is, I don't know, wanting to sort of make a Neapolitan to where, okay, well, I'm sort of supporting Obadiah. Oh, I'm 100% behind James and Jeff and Jeff and all this. And I come up with my own little names for them idiots.
Matthew and I don't know about Obadiah, but I know Matthew and James for a while, and I think they're good guys. And I think that maybe we should try to straighten this out or at least move it over a little.
There's nothing straightened out. They want to go ahead and tell me or other white men what to do based upon their notions of Christianity, and I'm not really interested in their notions. They can believe whatever they want.
Martin, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. There's no way I could force you to do anything.
Well, I know that.
Okay, and there's no way you could force me to do anything.
Well, I mean, all I could do is ridicule you.
Well, I know, but I don't think that's going to solve anything.
What do you mean solve anything? There's nothing to solve. If you don't want to cuss, don't cuss. If you don't want to read what I have to write, don't read it. Really simple. But
well,
there's nothing to solve.
The only thing that I've been trying to tell you all along is that there are people who are posting your stuff, some of your more colorful stuff.
So?
Well, yeah, but...
So?
You can't see the...
Look. It's so short. What happens, some nigger, some Jew, or some mamzer is annoyed and is having fun with posting my stuff. And what happens, you're going to go ahead and essentially say, well, we can't have that. Well, I don't know. There's nothing to decide because you don't actually know where it comes from. I mean, it could come from my own forum. It could come from William Fink's forum. It could come, you know, I mean, on my own forum, pretty well I post the stuff that I post over StumbleIn. I post what I used to post at Visser's, and I'm not going to go back to Visser's no more. I post stuff a lot. I have a lot of stuff out on the Internet. And you have no idea where it's coming from. But essentially, what you're trying to say is that, well, what these people post is embarrassing you. Well, okay, well, so be it.
I know where this is coming from. It's coming from Bill's site.
Okay? How do you know that?
Because they post the link.
Okay.
I'm getting people to learn about their identity by posting Bill's site so that they can go there and study and learn about who they are. And then they go, and then some Jew or some troublemaker or some Jew lover goes there, finds your stuff, and let's face it, some of it is pretty crude.
Okay, so it's pretty crude. The thing about it is that essentially what you're doing is you're supporting Obadiah. What boils down to is that here's this character from VNNF, and the VNNF card figured out that this was a transgendered liar and a hypocrite.
But see,
why can't you?
This is exactly what I was telling you before. You're trying to make this into a cult of personalities, and it's not. It's an issue. Okay.
If it's not an issue, then you shouldn't mind whatever I write here, because obviously my cult of personality is failing among the Jews and the Mamzers.
If you don't like
what I wrote, I mean, just simply say, don't go to Pastor Linfield's forum, you're gonna get offended. Don't go to sub forum. You're not gonna like it. You're gonna be offended. I mean, what are you going to do next? Set up a little women's Christian temperance union?
See, you keep on going way over here when I'm trying to keep us right here in the center and focused, okay?
Focused on what you want.
No, I'm focused
on the scriptures.
Read Colossians and read Ephesians and tell me if I'm not focused on the scripture. Okay?
What scripture? Name the scripture.
Oh, God, now I've got to go and look up the link again. I posted it on the site there. You can go and look it up.
Well, what you do is you post your notion of it. I don't know who you are.
I'm not posting my notion, okay? I'm posting the actual scripture itself, and it's pretty self-explanatory.
It was self-explanatory to you. You don't even know what the scripture is. You can't even quote it.
That is an unfair assessment.
What do you mean?
You,
if you know what the assessment is, you ought to be able to go ahead and just rip it off
you,
right here and now.
No, that's not true.
You're going to say, I'm a liar, you're a liar. I just simply said, if you know what you're talking about, you should be able to go ahead and say it right then and there. But you're not.
You're wrong. You're very, very wrong about that.
You're just
because you don't want it to exist. Okay.
Well, you haven't even got proof something exists.
I'm gonna look it up for you right now, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, go look it up. But to me, you're just an anonymous Mamzer or Baptist hobbyist who's putting, you know,
I am not a Mamzer.
How do I know that?
Well,
Normal black people. Nope. Why you got a picture of me? I don't have a picture
of you.
That doesn't
prove anything. You're sitting there in the dark holding a dog that's got red eyes.
Well, okay.
How many half-bearded
Christian identity ministers are there in the Zogland? Huh?
What does that have to do with anything?
You can't. I mean, what I do is I don't know who you are, but normal people.
I don't know who you are.
Well, fine.
Okay,
so since we don't know who each other are
but
here,
if you're going to go
who are you telling me what to do?
With a being a Mamzer and being a Jew just because
that's what Obadiah did. You supported her.
I supported him in that issue.
Well, of course you did. I mean, every single time. I mean, in normal situations, some snoopy bastard like you coming in and telling people what to do.
I'm not telling you what to do.
You're telling me that I can't say this.
So childish and listen for a change. I'm not telling you what to do.
Hell, you're not. You are.
I am not.
Well, if you're not telling
you what the scripture says.
Well, you don't even know what the scripture says. You have to look it up. You don't know what the scripture says.
Yes, I do. I've read it.
Well, what does the scripture say?
Hold on one second.
Okay, so in other words, you don't know what it says. In any case, you have no idea what you're talking about. You show
yes,
up.
I do.
You try to tell people what to do.
Yes, I
know. In normal situations.
Okay, listen, Ephesians 4 and 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
Okay.
Ephesians 5 and 4,
okay.
Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can argue with the scripture all you want to, and you can try and twist it.
You can say I'm twisted. The thing about it is, what I find obscene is people like you who have nothing better to do than run around trying to impose your no-show morality upon others.
I am not imposing anything. I am stating scripture.
Why don't you learn to mind your own business?
I am stating scripture to you.
Huh?
I'm stating scripture to you. These are the words of Yahweh.
No, those are the words of Paul, and I don't mind. That's usually what Paul says here. But Paul knew better than go out to the fields.
Do what?
And Paul knew better than go out to the fields where men were working or doing whatever and tell them what they could or could not say. This forum is not a church.
Oh, okay.
So, why don't you? I mean, why don't you simply mind your own business? Those idiots said, "Does this reflect well on CI?"
Listen, Martin.
I don't know who you are.
Martin, you don't have to know who I am to read the scripture. Okay, it doesn't matter if I am a Jew or a Mamzer. It does matter
if you're a Jew or a Mamzer. The scripture says, do not let any unwholesome thought come out of your mouth.
It's obvious you're not going to repent of this because you think that you...
No! What do you mean repent?
Repent of your foul mouth.
Huh?
You have a foul mouth.
What foul mouth? Well, look, I'm not in church. Don't you have anything to tell me, Martin?
Freedom of speech is in the Constitution. It is not in Scripture. The Constitution is a man-made
Look! If some character like you came up the first time, I just simply don't care what you saw me. Do you understand me?
I don't care what your church would do. I don't care what your organization would do. It doesn't matter to me.
What church would do. Well, if it don't matter to you, why don't you go mind your own business? I'm not in church right now. I'm not talking to Mamzers and Jews. Well, I am talking to a Mamzer or Jew because you have nothing else to do than bother people.
Whatever.
Whatever.
All right.
Whatever.
All right.
Whatever.
All right. Whoa.
That's enough. Let's slow down.
Okay. All right.
That's it. We're not getting anywhere with this, so let's just cut it off right here.
All right, well, let's cut it off right here now. But essentially, you know,
I have one disagreement with you, Martin, and that's we are the church. There is no church. We are the church.
We are the church.
The body, you know, the people of the church. That's
okay. Well, are we at church meeting right now?
Whenever we're gathered together, that's the church. That's
okay.
The ecclesia.
The thing is that as far as I'm concerned, you know, I mean, this character here, he can go ahead and be with Obadiah, he can go ahead and be with Jeff, he can be with a lot of people, and he can go ahead and have his own church, and they can run things according to how they see fit. But the thing about it is that there are a lot of white men, and they really wouldn't much take care to have somebody come in and essentially try to tell them what to do, based upon what they claim is their superior knowledge of the scriptures. My idea of Christianity is a rather liberating thing. And if these people don't want to have liberty, that's fine. I don't mind. What difference does it make?
I would say that what's important is what edifies our brethren. That's what's important.
Okay.
And
I have no problem with that.
Evidently,
my
we have a serious disagreement. That there's a serious disagreement on what that constitutes here.
Yeah,
I don't think we're going to solve tonight.
No, it's not going to be solved. The thing about it is that some character like James, he'd come in and you know he probably wouldn't leave alive. So you know that's
probably
it.
Probably wouldn't leave alive
because you know you go ahead you try to force your way on somebody and
I'm not forcing my way on you, Martin. You can continue to talk like a drunken sailor until doomsday for all I care.
Well, then what is the problem? If you don't care,
my problem is
drop
that
it.
You are supposed to be a brother, and as a brother, I am supposed to.
I have no idea who you are. I don't know your brother.
Well, Martin,
I trust you
at your word that you are not a Mamzer or a Jew.
Well, you
don't
trust
more
me
than what you're
yeah,
giving
you
me.
Don't need to trust me at my word. I have my picture out. I've been around for 16 years. You show up from who knows where and say it don't really matter if you're a Mamzer or a Jew, and I immediately said, well, yep, yeah, Mamzer or a Jew, and it don't really matter.
What it boils down to is the scripture doesn't matter to you. Okay, you've made that.
What boils down is that your notion of what the scripture says doesn't matter.
Why don't you read those two scriptures I just gave you and tell me exactly what they say? What is your
if I'm in church in a church setting? I will probably talk to you. We're in church. I don't recognize you as a brother. I think you're probably a Mamzer or a Baptist hobbyist.
Well, you recognize Bill, don't you?
Do you recognize Bill? Huh?
Do you recognize Bill?
Well, I recognize Bill, but Bill.
Okay, where two or more gathered in his name, there Yahshua is with you. Now, you're in church.
Two. I mean, yeah, maybe me and Bill, but Bill would give me a hard time about it. You are. I have no idea who you are.
May I interrupt just a moment, please?
Sure.
I sat patiently, and I've listened to this, and I want to say something. And I'm making it very brief, but I do not agree with you, Pastor Lindstedt. I don't like your attitude. I don't like your presentation. And we are an assembly of Yahshua representing Yahweh. And your language, I heard you the other night. I was appalled. The first time I've ever listened to you. But I'm like a lot of other people that may tune in to you and think, my goodness, is this the eye? I want no part of it. You are not a good representative of our people or our cause.
Okay,
and
you need to clean up your act.
That's all I have to say. And my name is Gerald Mosley, in case you'd like to know. And I'm not a Mamzer. I'm a white Israelite, and so is James. He's
I don't know that.
We're telling you. Okay?
Why should I believe that? We need to clear my mind and listen. I mean, I've already heard from someone who says it don't matter if it comes from a man or a Jew.
If someone quotes scripture, okay? It's Yahweh's voice. It's not that person's voice. You want to put everything down.
No. I wish to go ahead and know who I'm talking to.
I'm quite sure
at the time and the place anybody can go ahead and pervert whatever scripture they want.
Now let me ask you something.
I don't know who you are. I mean, you show up. You're like
Mark.
These California refugees. Hold on. Let me just go ahead and finish. I have no idea who you people are. I don't really care. If you don't like what I have to say, don't listen. If you don't like what I like, then that's fine. Then what is the problem?
I agree with you on that issue, okay?
There should be no more problem with it.
Regardless of what you say, Martin, you are still my brother. Okay? Now you may not
I have no idea who you are.
Martin, considering the fact that you threatened my life,
When did you threaten your life?
Okay, and then you just threatened me a little while ago when you said I wouldn't leave alive.
You probably wouldn't. You try to go ahead and force your way on somebody who wouldn't much care for it. I'm in a normal situation. What you have in the United States is a bigger problem, and most of you have nothing better to do. You can't mind your own business. You've got to go ahead and interfere with other people.
Martin, the scripture doesn't tell us where our brothers are concerned to mind our own business. You're supposed to meddle.
And that's fine. If you want to go ahead and have a community of self-righteous idiots running around and spying on each other all the time and creating a police force,
That's ridiculous.
It's the end result of what you people do.
You publish in a public forum. You claim to be a pastor. A pastor is supposed to be leading his sheep. You're not my sheep.
I don't really care. I'm glad that Obadiah came. I'm glad that Obadiah has cut you off. I'm glad that Obadiah is leading you out to the desert where you die. The thing about it is that you really need to get a grip. I'm the one who's talking for freedom. You're the one who's talking for freedom
under the Jewish terms of freedom, not freedom under Yahweh.
You don't have any freedom under Jews. You have a Babylonian system to where
you have every
you
freedom
get to, say
to
what
watch
you
all
want.
The porn you want, to cuss as much as you want, to take as many drugs, and to do all the kinds of slanderous stuff that you
see. What you're doing is you're mentally. You're mentally because you don't get your way.
No, I'm not saying that because I'm going to go ahead and use drugs. This has nothing to do with me. I'm not trying to get my way. I'm trying to get through to you.
No, you're not. I mean, if it boils down to, is I can go ahead and say what I wish, and if you don't like it, don't listen. What you're talking about is trying to go ahead and tell other people what to do.
No, that's a problem.
I mean, these people have nothing to fall back on, Martin.
Nothing.
Oh, you can go ahead and say I've nothing.
You have nothing, Martin.
I have scripture. A man's on scripture, and he's going ahead and tell me what to do? I don't think so. Look, if it makes you feel better to call me a man's or Martin,
have at it. Call me a Jew, call me a troll, call me a dyke. Call me a homo. Call me whatever you want to. Okay?
If it makes you feel good.
Because Yahweh knows you're in big trouble, buddy.
No, I'm not in big trouble.
Oh, yes, you are.
Yahweh ain't after me.
Idiot mamzers
are after me. If you don't like what I have to say, don't listen.
I don't, Martin.
Well, then what's the problem?
My problem is that I was trying to help a brother by rebuking him.
I don't know if you're a brother. I don't know who you are.
Of course
you're
I'm
somebody,
not a brother. Conveniently,
you're somebody,
I'm not a brother anymore.
You're somebody.
I disagree with you.
You never were. The thing about it is that here you are, coming in,
you don't
trying
make
to
that
tell people what
Martin,
to do.
Yahweh makes that determination, and thank God
and you
for
speak
that.
For Yahweh.
Yes, I do. Where the Scripture speaks, I most certainly do.
No.
Yes.
The thing that I'm trying to go ahead and show for dual feed line is I'm trying to go ahead and decentralize it. Now, if people want to go ahead and have some pastor, you know, tell them just like in the Worldwide Church of God that we're not going to have the days of unleavened beer, or you can't go ahead and have elastic socks and elastic in your socks and brassieres. Because the Bible says you can't.
Now you're going way over on the other side.
No. Yes, I'm going on the other side. I'm saying that that's what happens when people like you come in.
People
and
like
try
me
to impose
come
your
in.
Will.
I would never,
like
ever dictate anything
No. You're trying to dictate. You're trying to tell me what to do. You're trying to tell other people what to do.
Well, guys, that's enough, man. That's enough. Come on. We ain't getting nowhere.
Why
this is getting nowhere at all. It's not going to go anywhere.
All the money is not in the zoo.
Not everybody is going to disagree with you as a mamzer. I know that that's what you're accustomed to. But
No, I'm not going anywhere. Bill.
It's not going anywhere. We're not going to get past the point we're at here. So it's useless.
Okay. It is useless. The thing about it is that it's two totally different viewpoints. And the thing is that what I've been trying to do is pretty well my project 10,000 Warlords. What I'm trying to do is try to go ahead and convince young white males is that dual seed line Christian identity isn't about elderly people who have nothing better to do, who's trying to go ahead telling them not to cuss, they're not to drink too much. They're not to go ahead and do all the normal things that young people do, you know, when they're young. And it's not about going ahead and posing a police force to spy on their, you know, in their bedrooms or in their windows or go ahead and force whatever they want to do, and then go ahead and call it religious. And it's not about people like this James. It's not like people like this other person who has nothing better to do than try to tell other people how to live.
I understand your viewpoint, but I just got a couple of points of advice that I hope you at least, you know, you don't have to agree with me, but just consider them. You know, I'm a vocal public person, and people, even the people that love me, that I know they love me to hear all the time, that they correct me, and sometimes I disagree with that correctment, but I don't go hating on them because I disagree with them.
The thing about it is that I hear these people here, and what I say is how did they ever crawl into Christian identity? I mean, where did they come from? And soon enough they'll be gone somewhere else, and they'll be gone, and I'll just have another crop of critters like that, and I'll pretty well ignore them too.
Well, right. So, I mean, you don't have to. I'm not saying that you have to be obedient to him or that you have to accept his advice or whatever. But I'm just saying that not everybody who disagrees with us or tries to correct us is our enemy or is the enemy. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Bill, have you ever been in the army or in the military?
Have I ever been in the military? Well, I mean, I was in law enforcement. I was in paramilitary, and I spent 12 years
in
prison.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's pretty close to the military.
Well, it's sort of close to the military. You know, I was in fire direction control in launching the ground-launched nuclear, cruise missiles in case of war. And there are procedures. There are procedures. They're like a CEOI and, special channels and CEOIs and the rest, and procedures so that some smart Russian on the other side couldn't go ahead and
essentially get in onto the radio net and tell you and the missile crews to stand down or to do anything else here. And what you're doing is you're going ahead and you're listening. You're going ahead and listening only to authorized voices. Now, people that you don't know anything about, show up, like you said, Obadiah. Or, and then you go ahead and you see, well, guess whose side was this Obadiah, ignoring the fact that it's a gender bender, ignoring the fact it's a hypocrite, ignoring the fact it's a liar, because they want to go ahead and force their will on other people. No, I mean, you don't go ahead and listen to every single voice out in the wilderness. You need to know
scripture, and no one's trying to force you, Martin. And
the thing about it is that what I hear is this character's interpretation of scripture. And
I did not interpret anything, Martin. I read it. That's all
okay,
I did. I did not interpret it.
You read it. But the thing about it is, it ends up going ahead and getting all annoyed about me using a few four-letter words, and what it does, it goes ahead and supports.
Martin, you cuss like a drunken sailor.
When did I cuss like a drunken sailor tonight?
Oh, please, come on. Name him, look at your post.
No, well, I said tonight. On this thing here, you've been a good boy tonight, Martin.
That's for sure.
There's a time and place here. I mean, essentially, this character comes in and he sides with some gender bender and hypocrite and liar.
You don't know who Obadiah is.
I know, and I'm not going to sit here and judge a brother. I know what it is. No, you're not going to go ahead and judge Obadiah because Obadiah is your brother.
Yeah, Obadiah may very well be my brother.
It might very well be your sister. It has a gender issue.
No.
You don't know who it is. And the first thing I'm supposed to say that Obadiah, James belongs with Obadiah. And this is from the old little church.
All right, let's go. Come on, that's enough. We can't keep arguing this. It's not on.
But it's not going to get anywhere.
We're going to continue to yell and
Let's go, guys.
Let's change the subject. And if you're not happy, then why don't you just go away?
Cut off the chat room already. That's pretty well. I wish that James and you guys would do. But in any case, going on with Visser.
I want to know honestly what's up with Visser, because I haven't.
What's wrong with Visser?
I know he was disenchanted, and I just figured he was laying low for a couple of months.
He went ahead and called me, and just like tonight, we were yelling and screaming at each other, and. The thing about it is that he's been with this Brian Wright character for a long time. He's going ahead and telling me that, Brian Wright went ahead and, Brian Wright is one of your sock, or Billy Wood is one of your sock puppets. Excuse me, I went ahead and advised you to go ahead and moderate all these things. If you think Billy Wood's my sock puppet, why didn't you go ahead and click the thing on? And in August, after he got kicked out the second time, I went ahead and dug out from Brian Wright to where, way back when he was going ahead and claiming he was a member of the Church of Sons of Yahweh, I went ahead and this was old archives and dug out the fact that he didn't think that Morris Collette was suitable, and he was forming his own Church of Sons of Yahweh, reformed, and that's why he was resigning. And I point out, hey, he's no longer a member of the Church of Sons of Yahweh. And there was worry about this, and I sort of found out about it in the Nut House. And from what I gather, Zog ain't going to go ahead and turn that money loose. And Collette only got about $1,000 when it first got settled, and the lawyers are living off it, from what I gather. And that's what they do, not only just with church funds, our church funds or Gillette's church funds. They do that everywhere. Lawyers have been known to keep stuff running so they can go ahead and get paid. And I think that's what's happened to the Nazi millions.
All right. Well, I really don't care.
I went ahead and did a search. for Church of Sons of Yahweh Reformed, and I went ahead and found out that there was no Church of Sons of Yahweh Reformed, and I did find out there was a Church of Sons of Yahweh, and it was incorporated in 2003 by Ray Redford, and then Ray Redford died, so it was transferred in 2004, and there was a, in Ohio, $25 goes ahead and buys it for 5 years, and there was a demand that it be renewed by September 23rd. And I didn't know what Brian Wright knew, if he was playing games with me, and you know, pretty well I had to go ahead and deflect his attention and Visser's attention, because I didn't trust Visser, and I went ahead and put on my forum, possible betrayal by Visser. And I was pretty well asking people where they would stand, but I didn't tell them anything about the charter. And I went ahead and worked, and I got Gillette to renew his church so that when he gets out of jail in 2010, later this year, he can go ahead and have his church, what's left of it. And John Britton has only took senior pastorship of it because because I asked him to. As I look at, there needs to be many, 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 many churches. Like I was talking with him, pretty well, I sided with Gillette because after Butler died, I wasn't going to go with Christ. I wasn't going to go with Wickstrom, and Gillette was the only one left. And he pretty well made a complete mess of things. And what I'm after is pretty well individual churches, above ground churches, which are supported by networking, and pretty well every node goes ahead and communicates with each other. But I'm up to go ahead and upgrade all these single seed line churches up to dual seed line standards. And as a result, you could go ahead and have a church to where these people who disagree with me, they can go ahead and have whatever belief they want. They can act however they want, and they can do whatever they please, and they can have as much freedom or as less freedom as they please. And so that if a younger church, a more Western church, because, the church has Western flavors, it has a Southern flavor. I didn't know there was much of an Eastern church until I met you. And so that, the regional churches, by the characteristics of their, of their inhabitants, can have a dual seed line, church above ground or below ground.
Well, I don't really consider myself regional, Chris DeGeny is pretty much a heavily traveled site from about 50 or 60 different countries.
Well, it is. I mean, what happens, you and Clifton Emheiser are usually viewed as the foremost scholars of Christian identity. And, as such, you go ahead and do things. And pretty well, I'm recognized as probably the foremost political pastor of Christian identity. And I don't go ahead and come up with new doctrine or anything like that. What I'm aiming to do is to go ahead and massively decentralize dual seed line Christian identity. And, pretty well make it the religion of the warlords who are coming, who live now, because I believe the Great Tribulation is not too far around in the future.
Well, we should just make it clear that there is no centralization and we won't accept it.
No. There won't be no centralization. There's no controlling authority, and that's why I had this disagreement with these people, earlier in this program. I mean, these people can do whatever they want, and essentially I'm going to do whatever I want. And, under normal circumstances, I really wouldn't have anything to do with them, which is as it should be. So, anyway, with Visser, he goes ahead and he gets kicked out. I go ahead and get the church done, and here comes this Obadiah, and I've seen this thing before. Some perverted critter comes in and whines about foul language, and it's the same against women and children. It's the same thing I've seen in 2000 with the Andy Anderson, and what they end up doing is that they end up going ahead and grabbing hold of that particular forum and driving out the people like myself who stand against it. And the end result is they end up, just like Debbie Downey and her little meerkat and Andy Anderson and Nemo. That's all that's left. Here's a Jew, a Manzerizer, no need to go ahead and tell what I think about Debbie Downey and her meerkat. But that's all that's left. I mean, it's just a burnt out cinder, and that's probably what's going to end up happening to this result for him and this new forum. And
Jeremy change his forum over? I'm curious.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
the good thing is that it's his forum now, I guess, because
it's all his forum. And what happens is that last March, I mean, me and Sci-Fi Faber and the rest of them, we're going to go ahead and do that. We're going to go ahead and do a decentralization to where every single pastor essentially runs things his way. And that's the way it was. And then Sci-Fi, he had a cowl about some Jewish from MTV going ahead and, talking to me. And I just said, I'm not interested in finding idiots for a TV reality, for a reality TV show. And, we had a fight with Eric. I pretty well went through these people up area in front, found out they were just a bunch of pagans and heathens and creatards who paid August Christ $25, and they thought they were Aryan nations. I pretty well put a stop to that. And they didn't much care for that.
I posted two papers to Aryan Front. I found it in March, and I didn't. I noted the material was new to the people there, but I didn't get one response in 3 months. So I never.
Well, it's sort of like when Brian Wright ran off the first time. Randy Krieger's Volksfront, and Randy Krieger is supposedly a wokeness to a pagan or something. He's supposed to be a violent skinhead. He was on gangland. And, he's big. He's dumb. He's mean. Well, he's not dumb. He's pretty sharp. And what happens, he got a black-haired, buck-toothed wife here, supposedly Christianity. And I went ahead and looked at what their idea of Christianity, and it was a mixture of creativity and one seed line, and the guy didn't know anything. And here's their main CI chaplain. And most of these people don't know anything about Christianity, and yet they go ahead and claim to be it. That's another one of the suspicions. I mean, these people come in from the Baptist church or the Pentecostal church, and they gotta bring their baggage with them. And your baggage is just your baggage. I mean, that's probably how you used to do things, but to me, you're just a California refugee trying to go ahead and make Missouri or Idaho or whatever back into another California. But in any case, he went ahead and I spotted him. From my gather, this Brian Wright was a little bitty wannabe. And for some reason, he came back in April, and I figured out that he was no longer welcome. Maybe Randy Krieger, who wants to go ahead, supposedly be an umbrella organization, told him to stop fighting with the Christianity people. And, John Britton and I, we have looked long and hard to find out where Brian Wright is. And, Sumner, and what happens if he has enough money to go ahead and have a little place right next to Dave Barley. He used to be buddies with Dave Barley, and then, Dave Barley's a Mamzer. Well, no, Dave Barley is a Mamzerizer. He's a one-seed liner who married a Beaner, and he claims that she's a Lamanite, which is Mormon nonsense again, and they have a whole bunch of little half-breed sons and daughters, and, I mean, it's well-known. I used to talk with this old guy, and he said he went to visit them, and Dave Barley's mestizo kid was chucking dirt against his new car and annoying him, quite a bit over that. But anyway, but this Brian Wright, he goes ahead and shows up, and, the last time, here comes Obadiah and the rest of the idiots, and fuss, and Fruit Loop Visser says, well, I'm forming a new forum, and there's not going to be any profanity or disrespecting. And I'm looking at this and saying, what do you mean disrespecting? I mean, you let Brian Wright go ahead and make a whole bunch of death threats. And, you know, second time he got banned in August, he went ahead and looked at John Britton's oldest daughter on Facebook, you know, and, you know, holding her kid. And that creeped everybody out. And, you know, pretty well he got kicked out he got kicked out then, and then he came to a stick. Well, I'm no longer a Christian, but I'm an Arian, and Wesley Swift and Gerald, you know, or Richard Butler and Wesley Swift and the rest of them, they're Mamzers. And, you know, this or in March, he had, well, he had $240 to pay for V-Bulletin. See, I knew the fee because I was going to go ahead and buy my own V-Bulletin, man. I didn't like the crappy blog that they come on. It cost $60 more, but obviously he didn't have enough money to where he had to go ahead and put it on, on a free host company. And, he had to go ahead and he went ahead and done that. Now, when he called me yesterday, I got plenty of money. And what happens? I was going to go ahead and spend it on my church. I was going to do this. I was going to do that. And he told me a totally different story about how his family was, well-to-do, but they were suffering from the economic collapse and the, you know, loss of something. And he was saying his mother and his father had invested heavily in this company, and I think this company went bankrupt. So, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of money in March. And then all of a sudden he goes ahead and he comes up with some money. And, yeah, that's pretty well set up alarm flags with me and a few others. But he goes ahead and he has a fairly well developed one. He goes ahead and he pays for V-Bulletin, a brand new V-Bulletin 4.0, and I'm not too crazy about it, but you know, that's going to end up costing, even if he has a license, going to cost $240. But, you know, that's still peanuts. But what he did is that here he was claiming that that the server went ahead and kicked off words. Well, I found out that, you know, if I went and mentioned Hal Turner or Sci-Fi Faber, it was deleted. And I used the same words, and, you know, with the Obidorker nonsense, that went to 11 pages. And I'm using the same words I usually do, and it's going just fine. And I went ahead and posted episode number 04 with John Britton of the Movement Turd. And I go ahead, and I notice that, guess what? You know, I was a moderator still, and I was able to go ahead and see a trash can deletion. And he deleted post number 19, and that went ahead and took down post number 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19. And, you know, his brother, who he claims is the Fruit Loop, has gone ahead and censored and deleted stuff. So that's what we were arguing. Oh, I'm not censored. I'm not deleted. I mean, well, what'd you do with Facebook? Well, it's invisible. But he's not censored. I said, well, if it's invisible, how can he see it? Well, I mean, but he's not censored, and I'm not censored. But essentially what they did is they went ahead and took away my form because, I mean, I had a problem. I mean, you know, 2 days, he goes ahead and does it, and then here comes Billy Wood. He goes to his new forum. He says, oh, am I allowed to go ahead and say whatever? There's no profanity and no disrespecting rule apply to blogs. Oh, no, they're your personal property. Well, my subforum used to be, quote, my personal property, where it was not, you know, to be censored, but guess what happened? And you didn't do it with the new forum. You went ahead, made up new rules, and applied them retroactively. So, I mean, Visser has just lied to me. He's just gone ahead and blown smoke up my ass. And I just don't go ahead, you know, you know, trust very much. That's the problem is that, you know, people come in and they want to go ahead and turn Christian identity into something that suits them. And, they'll pretty well ignore, you know, the rest of their unsavory, you know, companions. And, oh, it don't matter if I'm associated with Jews and Mamzers. And, you know, I'm looking at what's going on here. I mean, if you want to associate with Jews and Mamzers, why do you need to go ahead and bring it to, you know, Christian identity? I mean, Christian identity doesn't really want any association with Jews and Mamzers. But, no, I mean, you know, these people come in and, you know, they lay out something here, and then they find something they don't like, and they'll be gone to something else. You know, be it 6 months or a year or 5 years or 10 years. They'll be somewhere else, and it'll be as if they never existed in the first place. So, no, I mean, you know, I probably will take a long term view of this. And these people ain't going to be here forever, and they ain't going to be probably not be here for very long, and they didn't really belong here in the first place. So, I don't worry about such things here. But no, I mean, what happens is Brian Wright and this, Visser, you know, I don't think he's been together for 6 years, but, and Brian Wright, you know, I mean, he's just loading these kick six killer and me off the thing, and probably so is Obadiah, but the thing about it is that by their associations, they just pretty well just, I mean, it's just like seeing some disease. I mean, if you're, you know, a pastor is a shepherd of flock, and you see some diseased animals. And in some cases, maybe it's better to go ahead, and I call them jugals, let the jugals and the dogs and the hyenas run them off around the corner and then go ahead and kill these diseased sheep animals. And, you know, that way you don't have to go ahead and knock them over the head yourself. So, I mean, this sort of thing with Visser, I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, let people want to follow Visser, follow Visser. But me and Visser have pretty well come to a parting of the ways, and I was talking to John Britton, and I went, John Britton sort of recruited me, and after I got kicked off of VNN in early January, and he wanted me to go ahead and join Visser's church. I joined Visser's church, and I went ahead and persuaded Visser to open up the forum to the public so that they could read it and so that they could go ahead and sign up and interact with it. So a forum, you know, a forum isn't a church. I mean, you don't know who these people are. And, by the way, at Visser's old forum, you end up having a Jew come in, you know, and he went ahead and admitted he was a Jew. And he was just laughing at what had gone on, you know, the past couple of days. But, I guess Visser was sort of hurt, but then again, so was Trader Glenn Miller when I pretend to be his buddy and strung him along for 4 years and kept an eye on him. So, I don't know. I mean, you end up, these people, they come, they go, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, what does need to happen is there needs to go ahead and be a, there does need to be a massive decentralization of the church, and no more of these $25, you know, $25 now and $10 a month Aryan Nations, fly by night, on false fronts. And no, I mean, that's pretty well my view of, what needs to be done with Christian Dandian. Pretty well, I would say that, this is going to end up going his way. And, pretty well, the rest of us just going to go ahead and, you know, go our way. So, but, in many cases, you go ahead and you make some agreements, and then you find out these people can't go ahead and keep and honor their agreements. I mean, what do you say? I mean, that's just the end of it. So, anyway, that's pretty well what's.
Well, we live in an age when nobody keeps and honors their agreements. Look at the divorce rate. I mean, I did it myself. That's the way we're taught from childhood today.
Well, I mean, for this argument, I mean, you know, this argument was, you know, it was degenerate in your open forum. It was in your open forum to me fighting with Obadiah and James and Jeff. I simply told Les to go ahead and take it down to my sub forum. You know, that way it wouldn't go ahead and clutter your main forum with any fighting and moaning or anything like that. So.
The thing about it is that
look, if they, you know, let these people do whatever they want to do. I don't really care. I mean, I don't know who they are, and to be honest with you, I don't really want to know who they are. You know, let them go their own way, let them do their own thing. So,
we got a couple other people I might like to talk to.
Yeah, well, I think I pretty well answered your question. You know, just let everybody up say whatever they want.
Circumlocutiously. Nah, that's all right. Thank you. Bruce, you were there. What happened? Bruce left. James, you have anything else you'd like to say? Well, oh, without sparking
yeah,
anything up?
I don't have, well, no, I'm just really grateful that, you know, we had this opportunity to discuss it, and I'm happy that Yahweh has seen fit to show us all the CI truth, and I'm very blessed, so I'm happy.
Thank you, James. Okay, I guess that's I'm going to wrap this up. That way I could go get some work done. And
you're always working, Bill.
Yeah, it's a necessity. Nobody's going to do it for me. Well, Pilgrim is a huge help. Thank God for her.
Once I get established in Virginia and I get a computer that's halfway decent, maybe I can do some stuff for you.
Yeah, that'd be great, but I don't like to. I mean, I wouldn't want to have you feel obligated. That's all.
Oh, please.
I got a ton of stuff to do.
Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing, you know, and it's no obligation.
Yeah, it would be a big help. I'd appreciate it, really. I'm sure a lot of people would. I have 11,000 documents to put up on the new Ensign site. It's going to take me years to go through them.
Well, when I get done with Wesley Swift and then Bertrand Comparé, I'll be glad to help you with that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, okay, I'm going to end the program, and that's enough. And 3 hours is long enough, and thanks, everybody, for putting up with us, and praise Yahweh.
Thanks, good night.
I'm going to have a Christigenia Open the European Fellowship Forum is at noon on Thursday. And it's at noon. I'm going to experiment with a moved up time, thinking that it's more convenient, even more convenient for some of the people in Europe. I'm hoping anyway.
Okay.
And maybe I'll get a few more of them to come on. And I don't know. It's a crack, right? That is, I got a really nice letter. I thought about reading it tonight. I'll probably maybe read it next time. I got a really nice letter from somebody in the Ukraine. A New Zealand farmer in the Ukraine. who's actually farming and found my website 2 weeks ago, and he wrote me this small letter.
Hey,
okay.
We'll read it.
Well, I'll leave you hanging until next week. That way,
oh,
we come back. No, I'm kidding. okay. I love y'all, and praise Yahweh. Good night.
Praise Yahweh. Night.